DeMarco Show, the best wrestling program on the planet.
Anybody who knows me knows I'm a man who stands alone, stands up for the things he believes in, and I believe if you want something done right, you do it yourself. The Main Event Mafia, they offered me that same opportunity the week before, and I turned them down. Because I plan on counting on the only man I've always been able to count on, myself, to get to the finals of the Bound for Glory series. But AJ, I hope that your decision works out for you. And I hope you make it to the finals of the Bound for Glory series, because I want to face you, because when we're in the ring, brother, it's magic.
Whoa, stop.
You know what? Stop talking about AJ Styles. Stop talking about the finals, because you made the biggest mistake when you turned down the Gentleman. We offered you a golden ticket. You tore it up in our face. How dare you turn us down?
How dare you?
What gentleman comes and interrupts me
when
I'm talking?
I dare.
Yeah. Because I'm better than you.
Better
and I'm
going to
go
me?
Out there and show you when I knock you flatter than Miley Cyrus's.
Very good.
Well, let me tell you what I'm going to do, Sister Daniels, lover of superheroes. I'm going to grab my cape, and I'm going to perform some magic. So I'm going to slap you so hard that bald head of yours starts growing hair again.
Greg DeMarco Show.
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco Show.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Really?
This is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
We all love Greg DeMarco.
Really?
I like Greg DeMarco.
Sometimes, at night, we spoon.
Anybody got time for that?
No, Greg. I'm serious. I love you.
Don't do it like that, baby.
Patrick, is someone tuckered out? Someone sneaky? You gotta go to bed, huh?
Damn!
We all love Greg DeMarco.
I love Patrick O'Dowd.
Yeah! Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Oh, you guys are so adorable.
That's gonna be a soundbite right there.
You're welcome!
You're listening to The Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and, that's not, that came off really weird. Oh my god, see, this is what happens when you're trying too hard. That's what happens, that's, I just gotta, this is, third time's a charm. This is The Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to The Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show, on the web.
DeMarco Show with Patrick O'Dowd and Sue Young, except on this Labor Day weekend, we don't have Patrick O'Dowd nor Sue Young.
Aw, Puddin.
Patrick O'Dowd at work. Sue Young had some holiday travel plans, as she often does, and she is a professional wrestler. However, you don't want me to sit here and talk for 30 minutes plus before we bring a guest on. That would be boring to you, the listener, and painful to me, the host.
Let's go!
100%
reason to remember the name.
That's why we are lucky to have our good friend Chad Perry join the program for a full 2 hours this week. Chad Perry, what is up?
Not much, Craig. It feels great breaking through the glass ceiling. Main event now, full 2 hours
exactly.
For 1 week.
Which don't let your head get too
you
big.
You know your damn role and shut your damn mouth.
See, now you're officially a co-host. Like that's kind of what it takes. There's just certain things that have to happen in order to allow someone to become a co-host. And then we need to find like some woman to talk to you so I can record it. There's things we need to do, and we'll get to work on them, I am sure. But we do have a lot of fun things planned for you guys today. Two big guests coming up in today's program. Just in about 30 minutes from now, we'll have Michael Berry from Tradition Championship Wrestling. Of course, it airs every Friday night on the Prestige Network on DirecTV. And then about an hour from now, Antonio the Promise Thomas, formerly of WWE's The Heartbreakers or Heartthrobs. I can't remember. I keep screwing that up, even in my own head. And And he'll be a part of New England Championship Wrestling's Bash 13, their 13th anniversary show this coming Saturday, September 7th. So lots of good things going on. Next week, Canadian talent RJ City will be on the program. If you listened several weeks ago, we had Ashley Six on. RJ City was his big recommendation. And as we like to do, when someone recommends a guest, we reach out to the guest and see if they can come on. So lots of good things. Chad Perry, if you want a Greg DeMarco Show t-shirt, you can buy one at prowrestlingtees.com/Greg. You can for only $18.99, a dollar cheaper than almost all the other t-shirts on that website. I did that on purpose.
Oh, good idea. Since I work here, shouldn't I get a free one?
Maybe. But work is kind of a loose term. Work is kind of a loose term. In fact, the early sales that have gone out there are going to pay for some DeMarquette t-shirts that I'm going to provide for some pictures that are going to be taken to help sell more t-shirts. So I've been getting – people have been tweeting to let me know which DeMarquettes they want to model the Greg DeMarco Show t-shirt. If you're listening, you can tweet at Greg DeMarco Show and let me know which DeMarquette you want to model the Greg DeMarco Show t-shirt. I've gotten all kinds of votes. Cherry Bomb, Taylor Hendricks, the Blossom Twins. People want me to buy multiple t-shirts, I guess. Su Young, Ellie Parker. Yes, Chad Perry did, in fact, get a vote and offered to even tie it off at the bottom. And
that's right.
And that'll be good. And Scarlett Bordeaux, oft-mentioned person. I don't know why people would want her to model the t-shirt. I have no clue. But she models lots of things. And, of course, just opened up a few days ago. You can go by and visit the all-new GregDeMarcoShow.com. It's still a work in progress. It's probably 100% by next week's show, but not quite 100% yet. And lastly, if you listened last week, we were joined by Michael Kingston, the man behind the Headlocked comic series, and we talked about their Kickstarter campaign. And if you're a fan of wrestling and comics, there is no reason to not get in on this action, even the cheapest level. There's benefits no matter how much you donate, and it's really cool, and it's really going to help support this series, which he even talked about. He doesn't make any money off of it. It's totally a hobby, something that he loves doing, and definitely wants to see continue and keep growing. So go to Kickstarter, search for Headlocked today, and be a part of that. Lots of good things going on there. So, Chad, got a lot of cool stuff planned, but we wanted to kick things off today by talking about the AJ promo from earlier in the week. And as the wacky world of wrestling would have it, there were two now infamous AJ promos this week. So that was your cue to say something. Like when I finish a sentence, that's just an opportunity for you to chime in. That's kind of how that works. So Chad may be talking. Chad, we had some connection difficulties earlier with Chad Perry, so I don't know if we're having those again. Are you there, Chad Perry?
I am here, Greg. Can you hear me?
Yes, sort of.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
I was
chiming in, but you know, apparently I was talking to myself.
You were talking to yourself, and maybe everyone else. Maybe it was only me who the Blog Talk Radio was not allowing to hear you. You just never know sometimes. Their support services are closed, by the way, for the holiday weekend. A nice little message pops up when you log in, so super excited about that, which means everything will go wrong solely because there's no support available if we need it. So, see, you're talking again. And you're breaking up, and now you're back. I heard the very last word of what you said right there.
I don't think I was making anything very important. I was just agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. Well, that time we heard you.
Okay.
So
okay.
That is a good thing. So on Monday's Raw, AJ Lee cut her what is now known as the Pipe Bombshell promo against the Total Divas, and then of course on Thursday's Impact, AJ Styles cut his work shoot promo about his spot in TNA and on the TNA roster. So initial reaction to those promos, whether it's both of them, one of them, kind of however you felt about those, Chad?
The AJ Lee promo I saw live on Raw, and you know, immediately the Twitter reaction was very interesting, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was the most I've enjoyed a Diva promo in quite some time. I can't really think of anything that's engaged me as much until I go back to maybe like Mickie James, Trish Stratus type stuff. And that's, you know, 8 years ago now or so. AJ Styles promo, I heard a little bit of it on Twitter, but I wasn't watching the show. I watched it right before we came on the air, so it'd be fresh in my mind. And, you know, I thought both were good promos. I definitely think that
Oh, Chad's fading away. Oh, now he's back.
Oh, good, good. So, yeah, I thought it was much more AJ Lee, top AJ Styles as far as entertainment value. I couldn't get into the AJ Styles promo very much. I know that you enjoyed it more, Greg, so I'm hoping that maybe you'll be able to persuade me a little bit to be more interested in the AJ Styles promo and the direction they're going.
I don't know if I'm going to persuade anybody to really be more into the AJ Styles promo, because I've noticed that everyone, like, I've literally had people admit to me, well, it's AJ, talking about AJ Lee, so I like it better. Like, they're just liking it because it's AJ, and because she's cute, and because they you know, they find her attractive, and they're really just kind of almost giving some of the drawbacks of the promo a pass solely because it's AJ. I felt like there was no personality in the promo whatsoever. Like, it was monotone AJ, which she's been before. Yeah, ooh, she said sucked, so everyone got all up in a tizzy because she's, you know, pretending that the Bellas, you know, gave blowjobs to get top of the WWE, which probably isn't true, but everyone just wants to believe that it's true, so they're going to follow along with it. And I just feel like it was like this was big overreaction to the AJ promo. I didn't think it was bad in any way at all. I thought it was fine. I didn't think it was great. I wasn't all up in arms. Like Tony Acero. Now, Tony, and he'll be on later to talk about this, and God love Tony, he was like, best diva promo ever. And of course, it's because it's AJ again. And people are just all up in arms, and Twitter's going nuts over this. And it was unexpected, and it was great. But it wasn't like the end-all, be-all of promos, not even diva promos. Mickie James, things that she did during the Trish Stratus feud, blew that out of the water, first of all. Mickie James cut a promo on top of a ladder 2 months ago in Impact Wrestling. That blew that one out of the water. She didn't say anything shocking, but it was a great promo and one that really kind of helped promote. Actually, it helped promote the match between Taryn Terrell and Gail Kim. Their ladder matches, AJ said, on top of the promo, or on top of the ladder, cutting that promo. So I'm fine with the promo. I just didn't think it was this great, groundbreaking, amazing promo that people seem to think it was.
Here's something that I think is awesome.
Oh, I think Chad's talking to no one again. Oh, there you go. You're back.
Hey, Al, am I?
This is
AJ
a fun part.
AJ Lee and the Divas promo. Am I coming in all right, Greg?
Yes.
Yes, okay. This is awful. I switched phone companies. I'm still having these issues. So AJ Lee, you know, it's much more unexpected because Divas don't talk on air. They don't even wrestle on air, have like 7-minute segments. And AJ was out there talking for at least 5. AJ Styles and TNA has done these type of promos countless times. Rhino's done it. Christian Cage has done it. Countless other wrestlers have gone out there and worked their work shoot promo. And I think after a while, it kind of loses its value a little bit. As compared to WWE, we haven't really seen a work shoot bombshell type of promo since the infamous CM Punk promo from 2011. I mean, that's 2 years, and of course, you know, it's not going to hurt that AJ Lee is an internet darling. And AJ Styles, because of the way that TNA's used him over the past few years, is definitely, you know, everyone still says they like AJ, but no one really has that same amount of care for AJ Styles they do for AJ Lee.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. But AJ Lee cut better promos when she was crazy and bouncing between CM Punk and Daniel Bryan and even Kane. Like, that was far more entertaining than this stuff. And she got plenty of mic time back then, too. This reminded me more of her failed run as general manager when I just wasn't feeling it with the stuff that she was saying. And again, I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just not at the level of excitement that everyone else is. And I think some people are blinded by the fact that it's a Divas promo, that she's bashing the Total Divas that we all love to hate, and saying that they didn't earn their spot when most of them didn't. I mean, I think the Bellas have earned more than people will give them credit for, but JoJo and Eva Marie sure haven't earned anything. And Natalya, of course, in the center of the ring, like, hello, this is the one who was the internet darling for a long time. So, and probably the one we should have the most sympathy for right now, because she married a dude who's an ass. So it's you know, so I mean, I feel worse for Natalia because now we all know that she's got a terrible husband. So, you know, for me, the AJ thing, and part of it is also because of where it's headed, and we'll talk about that in a minute. The AJ Styles promo, it was that work shoot TNA promo, and I'm probably blinded by the fact that he's bashing Dixie, which, you know, I love to do. So that's probably part of my influence. But AJ's delivery wasn't great. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not saying this was the greatest promo ever either. I actually kind of put them both on the same level, to be honest with you. Like, to me, they're equal. Equal with each other, which means I have to bring AJ's promo down from where people are putting it and take AJ Lee or AJ Styles' promo up from where people are to let them be at the same level. So for me, I actually think they're kind of at the same level for me. I don't prefer one over the other. I think they're both sort of the same.
Right, fair point. And it will be interesting seeing where both of them go going forward. You know, obviously, as you just mentioned, AJ Styles, or you didn't mention that AJ Styles has reportedly signed a contract extension to go through Bound for Glory. So, you know, that news came out right around the time of the promo. So, you know, it's where do you see both promos going, Greg? Do you believe the internet rumors that they're going to be going towards a Total Diva segment and they're going towards a Bound for Glory main event? Or what do you see going forward for them?
I believe the I can buy into the Total Divas rumors that AJ is going to drop the belt to one of the Total Divas, probably Natalia, if the WWE was smart. It could also be one of the Bellas. The Bellas have held that title before. It'd be Brie, obviously, since Nikki's still recovering from her injury. Hopefully, it's not one of the other ones. Although I could see it being, I don't know, is it Naomi or Cameron that can actually wrestle with the Funkadactyls? I don't even remember.
I can't tell the difference.
I think it's Naomi who can actually wrestle. I think. I'm not 100% certain. So I could see that happening because the Divas Championship is kind of worthless right now. You know, once AJ beat
right now.
Caitlin, well, we're just talking about right now. It's been worthless for quite a long time. Ever since, you know, Laycool was holding up two, it's kind of been worthless. Really since creation, although I think, you know, some talented people have that
creation.
Some Beth Phoenix did hold the belt. Other people, talented people, have held that belt. But I do think that's where they're headed. And I'll be honest with you, I think AJ would give her left foot to be on Total Divas because it's more money, it's more exposure, at least to a lot of other things. I actually don't think she believes the stuff she was saying in the promo. I think she believes that she's worked hard, that she's slept in her car, that she's had to scratch and claw her way to get to the top. But I don't think she would turn down what the Total Divas are doing, the opportunities they have, and she's going to become a part of the show if this is true. Like, her role will become part of the program. And this whole thing that everybody's up in arms over is really just to promote and further an E/WWE reality television show.
I
think
a show that I'm sadly missing to record this show, but
I know
I make my sacrifices, Greg.
It's only on 18 more times. It's okay.
Yeah,
I think you'll
just in the next 24 hours, probably.
I'm still holding out. I still have my only exposure to Total Divas is still any promo they show on Raw that I don't fast forward on my DVR. So that is pretty much my only exposure. I would say all total, I've probably been exposed to about 2.5 minutes of Total Divas over the past however many number of weeks that it's been on, solely based on what I've seen on Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah.
In terms of the AJ Styles promo, I think we're headed towards AJ Styles. Well, you know, spoiler alert, he does make the final four of the Bound for Glory series. You know, in all of TNA's wisdom, after advertising that the Bound for Glory series ended on Thursday, it doesn't because they then go in a gauntlet match, which they started the series with. They book another gauntlet match that AJ Styles wins, gets a 20 points, vaults himself in the first place, and he will face Austin Aries in the semifinal. It will be Magnus versus Bobby Roode in the semifinal. And if there was ever a time for them to actually use the gauntlet concept, it should be the final four. Winning the Bound for, like, being in first place in the Bound for Glory series should allow you to be like the last guy anyone faces. And it should kind of go that. I don't think there should be a semifinals and a final. I think they should have to stepladder that thing and where three faces four, the winner faces two, and then that winner faces one. Like, I think there should be an advantage to finishing higher in the Bound for Glory series. But they didn't even finish the complete rotation of matches. And I haven't even done the math to see if everyone wrestled the same number of matches. And I don't think Magnus was actually there for the gauntlet if he couldn't be there for the first half of the taping. Like, England's pretty far to fly from. So I know he wrestled the house show on Friday, so maybe he did get there in time. Who knows? And then, of course, Jeff Hardy wrestled Kazarian, who he already wrestled in the Bound for Glory series previously, which tells me that Jeff Hardy's victory over Kazarian was actually supposed to be a victory over Magnus. So I'm actually not that upset about it. So, given AJ's contract status, I don't think he's going to win the Bound for Glory series, solely because he's not under contract right now. He is a short-term contract through Bound for Glory. So unless they're going to have him win the Bound for Glory series, lose to Bully Ray and disappear, which I guess is a possibility, or unless he signs a long-term deal between now and the No Surrender live broadcast on Spike TV, then I could see that changing. Otherwise, I think Magnus is going to win and probably lose to Bully Ray at Bound for Glory, in all honesty. And then if AJ doesn't sign a long-term deal, he goes away, and who knows what happens after that. Maybe he goes to WWE. Maybe he returns to TNA in 6 months. I don't think he goes to Japan because he's a family guy. He doesn't want to be without his family. Maybe he surfaces in Ring of Honor and starts wrestling indie dates. Who knows what would happen to AJ Styles after that. I'd prefer to see him go to the WWE. I don't know if that opportunity is there. People are saying they're not interested. They're not interested in any TNA talent. Yet they're talking to Matt Morgan. So I don't know what to believe, thanks to the old internet, which we're a part of, so I can't complain too much about it. So that's kind of where I see those things going, Chad. Do you see anything differently, or where do you see it being headed?
You know, when it comes, especially, I'll start with AJ Lee being a part of the Total Divas show. And that's definitely something that makes a lot of sense, because there's been parts, for those of us that have lots to say, that we've seen things that seemed odd on TV, and then when you watch the whole thing, it makes sense. For example, a couple episodes ago, they're talking about an episode where they had Naomi and Cameron working, I believe they were working as heels, and it seemed odd, and it ended up coming out that it was because of that drama, which, you know, of course, is totally scripted. So I definitely agree. The AJ Lee thing is going to be part of Total Divas, probably in the second run, whenever that comes up. And I'm okay with it, because it still is entertaining to me. I mean, it doesn't need to – no one – well, I should say no one. I don't believe that the Bellas swept their way to the top, for one thing. You know, like every point you made, Natalya. And then you got people like JoJo, who – and what's her name? Eva Marie, who definitely have not earned their spot on the roster. AJ Styles, you know, the Bound for Glory series is so frustrating, because we all definitely did see AJ having the best chance going in, and, you know, now they screwed it up. And for me, it's been the most enjoyable part about TNA for the last 2 years was the Bound for Glory series. They had, it was the one thing they had done perfect.
Well, last year,
the tournament.
The first year they didn't do it perfect. Last year they definitely did.
The first year they screwed up the ending, but as far as the actual tournament goes, and how they formatted, I thought everything was went very well. But this year,
well, the first year was very haphazard and not at all even. Like, even the number of matches, like, some people had 14 matches, some people had 8. So,
oh, that's correct. Yep.
First, they definitely
stand corrected. Well,
the second year, they definitely did. They definitely did do a better job with it.
Yeah, and so now this year, you know, they messed up the matches. They seemed to end things this week, but then they continued them. You know, technically, I suppose it still ended Thursday because they taped it Thursday, but like you said, there's no way Magnus made it there, and I'd like to see Magnus be the one that comes out, but I hope he's the one that beats Bully Ray. The only thing is, Magnus does still feel like a mid-carder to me, and I know we're talking about the AJs here, but, you know, AJ Styles, where he goes from here, it definitely does all hinge on the next 2 weeks, I think, and like you said, if he can sign an extension, and it might even depend on up until Bound for Glory, because TNA might let him go and hope he wins the title. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this 3-month extension is simply because both sides don't want to separate. I think it's a case of like Kevin Nash. They told Vince multiple times, if you can offer me the money, the WCW can.
Right.
I'll stay here. And I think that's how AJ feels right now. He wants to give them every chance he can get because he's been there and he's worked. He's worked just as hard as TNA has to get them to where they are today.
Right, and the issue that we're running into now is there is no WCW out there. Mm-hmm. Like TNA and WWE are just on completely different levels. It's like they were, it's as if they're two completely separate businesses at this point, and they are, because one knows how to run a business and one doesn't. But for AJ Styles, I mean, I think he's just hoping that WWE is interested, and if they're not, he's screwed, because then he's kind of left with whatever TNA wants to pay him, or he walks, and I don't think TNA would bring him back if he walks, because unless he comes back and takes whatever lowball offer they're giving him, because they're trying to cut costs right now. They're letting everybody go. Like, I bet they let Hogan go when his contract is up. Unless Spike TV jumps in and says, we'll pay for it. Like, Hogan supposedly makes $2 million a year for TNA right now. Is that money paying any dividends? No. It's not giving him any benefit whatsoever. So the ratings have gone down. House show attendance has gone down recently. Like, there's no benefit to keeping Hulk Hogan there whatsoever. Build the new stars, which is why you said Magnus feels like a mid-carder, and he does. But that's what they need to do. They need to take a mid-carder and elevate him. Like, you know, AJ Styles, better option to dethrone Bully Ray. James Storm, not even in the Bound for Glory series, better option to dethrone Bully Ray because he was on an original, just like AJ Styles was. Joe would have been a good option as well. But Magnus is a good option, too. Like, I've got no problem with any of those options. In fact, any of the final four, I would actually be fine with winning. Whereas, like, last time, I worried about the final four because of Jeff Hardy. And sure enough, Jeff Hardy ends up winning the whole thing. And then we had to turn Austin Aries heel because we can't have two faces in the Bound for Glory main event, apparently. So I have no problem with any of the final four competitors in the Bound for Glory series actually being the one to face Bully Ray at Bound for Glory. And so I hope that they actually do go through with that. And I'd love to see one of those guys win. I'd be fine if it were Bobby Roode. I'd love it if it were Austin Aries. Austin Aries still gets face pop. He's over like crazy with TNA fans, which just amazes me. And he stayed over. You know, unlike Chris Sabin, like, he won the belt and it elevated him and he stayed there. So, you know, Sabin finally does return to Impact Wrestling next week, too, by the way. I was worried that he was just going to disappear, but he did actually return, which made me sort of happy. So, a lot of good things.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to mute myself.
Mute myself there
as I was sneezing. So, don't want to sneeze in the ears of the listeners.
Appreciate that.
Honestly, what I do think the answer to the question of the long-term result of each is that it's not going to be that impactful, in all honesty.
Yes.
Like, it's not going to have the impact that the CM Punk promo did, which led to CM Punk becoming one of the top wrestlers in the world in terms of scope, in terms of stature, in terms of pay, everything. That's not going to happen to either of these people.
No, it's definitely not. I mean, even if we look at the AJ Styles promo, I think one of the things that stood out to me, too, was the crowd. And that's not that they sucked. They weren't really responding. The only time they responded, really, was when AJ said that he's better than the best in the world. And, you know, they probably took that as a CM Punk shot. Because I read that TV people reading into it that way online, that he was taking a Punk as a shot at Punk. And
exactly.
I find that hugely laughable.
Well, I'm sure that's what he was told to do. He quoted Mark Henry when he dropped the "That's What I Do." He even called himself the show stealer. So now he's talking about Dolph Ziggler. Like, it was just the weirdest thing when I saw all that stuff taking place in his promo. Because he's not a great promo guy, never has been a great promo guy.
No.
He does his talking in the ring. He's one of the best in-ring performers there is. So, and I would love to see what he could do in Japan. I just don't know that he wants to do it. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with both of these long-term and where it leads. And with TNA in general, WWE, they're not going anywhere. They're going to be fine. The Divas division is going to continue to get one segment per show, maybe two if they separate the title with Total Divas, which if you're a diva right now, you're begging to be on Total Divas because other than that, you're not being on television. You know, they showed a list of divas and had people vote on their favorite, and people were like, who's that? Like, they'd forgotten all about names like Tamina, Snuka, and Oksana because, you know, where are they? So meanwhile, there's all this great talent sitting in NXT just waiting for an opportunity. So good stuff, which does bring us to the 30-minute mark of the program, which means it is time to run off and get our very first guest on the show. So what we can do is play some music and go get the guest. So Chad, you get to do what Patrick O'Dowd would normally do, and that is select the song that we are going to play here for the mid-show. We've got three options. Patrick O'Dowd has the options memorized. We have Bad USA, we have Man Called Sting, and we have Steiner Line, the Steiner theme song from WCW. So, short choice, which one do you want?
It is such a hard choice. I'm going to go with Steiner Line.
All right, so we'll play some Steiner Line. Probably won't get through the whole song, and be right back with our very first guest.
Thank you, Greg. Oh, I want to say, Greg, I love you. I'm serious. I love you. Greg DeMarco, I love you. This is Buggy Nova, and I just want to let all you guys know that I love Greg DeMarco. True, I can't help it.
Greg DeMarco Show.
Scarlet Bordeaux, and that's not, that came off really weird. Oh my god, see, this is what happens when you're trying too hard. That's what happens. That's, I just gotta, this is, third time's a charm. This is the Perfect 10 Scarlet Bordeaux, and you're listening to the Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show on the web.
Because you know you're so
high. See, I'm gonna get off the phone, I'm gonna think of something so much better.
Get down, get down.
Chad Perry, we have a long-standing tradition that you haven't been a part of yet, which is where when I get the guest on the line, I put them on hold, I come back, I have to inform Patrick O'Dowd that we've achieved guest. And
yes,
as tradition would hold, we've achieved guest.
So, that's good.
Always very excited. That's right. You are now part of tradition. And as it is tradition, we will give the guest a proper welcome.
It's time!
You can find him on the Twitter at MSN_Barry. He is a member of the roster of Tradition Championship Wrestling, which you can see every single Friday night on the Prestige Network, which, of course, I get to watch because I have DirecTV. That is a good friend, Michael Barry. Michael, welcome to the Greg DeMarco Show.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Was that Scott Steiner's theme you guys were playing earlier?
That was the Steiner brothers, yes.
That's funny because I actually got to work with Scott about six or 8 months ago, actually, in TCW. And great guy. You know, I had always worried about, you know, all the wrestling urban legends about the guy, you know, encountering him. But turned out to be a great guy. But thing of note about him was I'd never seen a guy with two bags. He had one bag with his wrestling gear and all stuff like that, and then he had another bag just for food. And then on top of that was I've never seen a guy that loved Reese's Peanut Butter Cups so much. I mean, it was just stacked on top of the second bag. Of course, I didn't say anything to him or, you know, pass judgment because it's Scott Steiner, but I just thought that was kind of funny that you guys were playing his music.
Yeah, I like to go old school. Myself and Patrick O'Dowd, who started this show 2.5 years ago, we've both been fans for a long time, both in our 30s. So we go back with a lot of these things that some of our listeners don't even know. So
yeah,
we definitely love to jump in and do that. And many of our listeners may not even be familiar with you or your work. So kind of let them know what caused Michael Barry to become a professional wrestler.
Well, honestly, it started when I was in high school. I was probably that stereotypical kid that just always loved the sport, always gravitated towards the larger-than-life characters. I went to actually WrestleMania 17 down in Houston with my dad and saw it live, and I thought to myself, oh, my God, I've got to figure out a way to try this. You know, I may never get to that level, but I don't want to be that old 80-year-old guy wondering what if. So graduated high school from Northeastern Oklahoma and went to Missouri Southern, and my parents knew that I wanted to become a wrestler, and they were like, no, become a lawyer, become a doctor, hell, become a janitor, just don't become a wrestler. And I stayed at it. And so finally they go, okay, well, we'll support you if you guys get your college degree. And so I graduated from Missouri Southern, went on to wrestling school, found a guy by the name of Sonny Myers. And I guarantee you probably 90% of the people have never heard of the guy. He was a mainstay in the National Wrestling Alliance. Actually, an interesting note about him, if you ever get a chance to look him up on Wikipedia, he was the first one to sue the NWA many years ago because they tried to monopolize the territories. And so
right.
Fascinating story. I mean, it's a great read. And he actually refereed the NWA, brought him back, kind of extended the olive branch, and he refereed for him and ended up refereeing one of Terry Funk's title changes down in Florida. So that was kind of the note. But he was an old timer that he didn't let you into the business easy. And so I got my foot in the door that way. Just been plugging around for 10 years, just trying to beat down everybody's door that would give me an opportunity. Started with Traditional Championship Wrestling about 3.5 years ago, and I started on the ground floor and watched it expand, and hopefully we'll stay on board as we continue to expand each and every week.
Well, we're going to talk, of course, about Tradition Championship Wrestling here momentarily. But the amazing thing about what you just said is that you're saying that there's something on someone's Wikipedia page that's true, which even befuddles me even
more. Given that much stuff, something has to be true. You know, even
true.
If they made something up, eventually something has to become a fact. But, it's a fascinating story. And the shame is not a lot of people know people like him, Sonny Myers, Lord Littlebrook, that really some great talents that came out of the St. Joe, Missouri area that, you know, you know, had links to people like Harley Race, Bob Goggle, things like that.
Great. So, Michael, TCW is definitely a promotion that's doing big things, as you mentioned.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, the thing about TCW is, you know, we're not just one of those fly-by-night, you know, promotions that just show up one day and we make all these crazy promises that, you know, we're gonna take over the world tomorrow and things like that. Because trust me, we've all seen them, and if you've been involved in the wrestling business for any amount of time, you've heard the straight-out BS of promoters promising you the world, promising to take you to the top, kid, you know, this, that, and the other. We've been around 3.5 years. We slow and steady is the course. You know, we've got great roots. With that, we, like anything, we suffered some growing pains, and we've gone through some transitions with a lot of talent to find the key talents that we need to become successful, and we've done that, and we've stayed the course, and the crew that we have right now, hardest working crew, you know, I hate to sound cliche, but you hear those old ECW stories about, you know, Paul Heyman working from his home with Tommy Dreamer in the basement, which Tommy Dreamer actually works for us now, consistently. He'll be on our show this weekend in Nashville. You know, but you heard all those stories about him sending out mail, doing this, that, and the other. That's the way it is. Everybody we have on our roster from top to bottom, team player, and I think that has been the number one reason that we have achieved the level of success that we have, and hopefully that will continue.
That's great. So what does the TV deal mean? You guys are on the Prestige Network. What does that mean for TCW now?
On the Pursuit, channel, not Prestige, Pursuit.
Sorry.
My bad.
Hey, it happens. We're even. Well, we started out kind of smart. We made test runs on local affiliates, you know, across Missouri, Oklahoma, Kansas, and things like that. And then we were slowly adding affiliates, and you know, it got up to about 3 million people locally, you know, that we reached between, you know, middle of Missouri down to the middle of Arkansas, over to the middle of Oklahoma and whatnot. Well, then we got a deal with Cox Sportsnet, who puts us on Friday nights at 11. Well, that reaches 8 states. Well, after we secured everything with that, you know, figured out all the technical snafus that we, you know, that sometimes you encounter when you do that type of thing, in comes this deal with Pursuit that lends us some real credibility to the wrestling business, because now we're on a channel that's covered by Dish and DirecTV. So now not only do you have, if you don't have Dish or DirecTV and can't watch that, you can watch us if you're in one of the 8 state area that Cox Sportsnet has. In addition, Tough Television, I think, it's a digital channel that anybody with digital receivers all across the United States can watch our show.
That's great. So what is it like to turn on the Pursuit Network and see yourself?
It's a long time coming. I don't know if it's really sank in yet. You know, I don't know that I can slow down to enjoy it, because everything, because you're always moving on to your next goal. You're always looking ahead. I think when I get older in a few years, I'm going to go, I probably should have slowed down and enjoyed it and watched it while I could. But you know what? It's just, we're a highly motivated group of people, and we're always on to our next goal. So there's no real letting it sink in or you know, things like that. My area was one of the local affiliates that we were first on several years ago, so I've been lucky to be able to watch myself on television for a few years. So it's just another step in the evolution to being successful.
Well, and you can always, of course, see them over on the TCW website, too. So they're always there for you to see, which is good.
Correct. So, we do have our YouTube channel that the show goes up every Monday after Raw, 10 p.m., mm-hmm. they put on a new show. So, you know, we try and make it to where everybody, no matter where you're at, can see the show and mm-hmm. enjoy the show, you know. And it's all about access, you know, giving fans access to our product.
Exactly. You're really still building that fan base. 3.5 years, I mean, you talk about taking it slow. There are promotions that, are pushing far more years than that, that just wish they could get to the level that TCW has gotten to in 3.5 years. What do you attribute that success to? Like, why? How have you been able to, or not you, but the promotion, how have you guys been able to accomplish that in a relatively short period of time?
It's a great group of people, spearheaded mainly by an individual named Matt Riviera, who he was on, you know, Millionaire Matchmaker. He's done several reality projects and things like that, and we're just freaks. Bottom line, we're just freaks. He'll call me at 7 a.m. to run an idea, or we essentially don't sleep. You know, you can't you never get a day off when it comes to trying. We're always trying to figure out a way, you know, to increase viability and work hard. You know, you can't just, there's no days off. You know, and that's kind of the maybe some of the things that we stole from Vince, is where you heard the guy never sleeps, and, you know, if he does sleep, he sleeps with the lights on type of deal. And that's really the way you've got to be. If I discovered a long time ago that any of the essential traits that will make you successful in business or in life go all the way across the board, and they apply to wrestling too. Hard work, you know, integrity, things like that, they go a long way. And we're discovering, you know, it turns out in wrestling there's people there's a few of us out there without integrity, and, you know, so the people, you do show up and work hard and have integrity and believe in the product, it goes a long way.
No, you're exactly right. I'm lucky enough in, on the other side, quote unquote, in the business, never wrestled, but in a lot of other roles, and I've seen it all, and that's just at a tiny little, you know, indie level, not even at the level.
Seen
of
it all and been told it all, probably.
Yes. Oh yeah. Been told it all, even last week. So it's just kind of the way that things go. But this Friday, September 6th, TCW does present Tennessee Takeover at the Nashville Fairgrounds Sports Arena, 7 p.m. And it's quite the lineup, you guys, quite the talent lineup you guys have already announced for this one.
Oh, absolutely. It is the first night of the Tennessee State Fair. So that's going to be exciting. In the Tennessee Fairgrounds, the home of where TNA started.
Mm-hmm.
So that's crazy in itself, but, you know, we're going to have Tommy Dreamer versus Doug Gilbert, Tennessee Street Fight, as the main event. I can't even begin to think how insane that match is going to be in that building. I can't even fathom it. I'm at a loss for words. In addition, we'll have, you know, people like Dan Severn, Rock and Roll Express, my partner, Alan Steele, we are collectively known as Genetic Perfection, takes on Hounds of Hell, Cerebus, the former Wolfie D, and Gary Graham. So, I mean, it's just going to be stacked from top to bottom. You know, it's going to be truly a can't-miss card. And you know what? It's hard to turn some heads in Nashville. Nashville is one of the wrestling meccas in addition to Memphis. So you really got to go in there. You really got to, you know, if you're at a 10, you got to take it to a 12. And everybody intends to do that because, you know, like, we work hard, but we do have chips on our shoulder, and we're kicking in the door, and we're going to prove that we're the real deal. And we've got something to prove to everybody in Nashville, and we're going to prove it this Friday.
Yeah, I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth. Like, Nashville is a hell of a territory to go into. You talked about TNA. Of course, Crossfire tried it. It didn't work. It didn't work out for them, and then they closed down. So obviously it's important for you guys. But the fans that come, what can they expect out of this card? What can they expect from the live experience of TCW?
We are just so fan-friendly and interactive with the fans. You can expect at least 3.5 hours of great action. And speaking of Crossfire, we've got one of their former champions, King Shane Williams, one of our old roster members, he's making his return to TCW on Friday. So it'll be interesting to see how he's received by everybody as one of the people that, you know, jump ship, so to speak, when things are going on about that. But he'll be back. It's going to be you just have to go to one of these to experience it, because it is so much greater and bigger than just your average indie armory show. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but TCW is all about putting on that big match feel, making you feel like you're getting your money's worth, like you're going to an event. Not that you're paying $5, walking into an armory and watching a guy who looks like he should be serving you fries out there roll around in sweatpants. We're not that. All of the people on our roster, we look like wrestlers because we are trained professionals. Everybody in the roster has been in the business for a long time, know what we're doing, and we know how to bring it each and every time we step in the ring, and we know how to entertain those fans, and that's exactly what we're going to do. So it's a case where, you know, if you're thinking about going, you're like, you're kind of on the fence, you need to go. Trust me, you won't regret it.
That's great. And, Michael, you mentioned earlier that, you know, your family pushed you to tell you to do everything but be a pro wrestler. So
absolutely.
If you had not become a pro wrestler, what path do you think you would have chosen?
I probably would continue to what I do. I work in addition. I work in commercial art and things like that, and got my degree in it. And, you know, I've managed to if you're smart, you can parlay your business and your hobbies together. So I managed to parlay my commercial art career and do website T-shirt designs and things like that for wrestling. So I probably would have done that, but I would have definitely had a huge hole in my life that I can't even begin to think about how I would, you know, try and fill. You know, I'm sure there would be something. You know, I'm sure I would be probably Joe Bob sitting at the Buffalo Wild Wings bar talking about my best times of my life in football in high school, if it not for wrestling, like every other person that you know has those moments. But I can only speculate.
Yeah. Now, you did mention, of course, you've been a long-time wrestling fan. You mentioned earlier about working show with Scott Steiner. Are there any other guys from the past, your childhood, that you got a chance to either work on the same show with or work against that have been, you know, just exceptional experiences for you?
Oh, man, it's, you know, it's funny. I thought about this the other day. I think I've forgotten of more people I've had the chance to work with than I could remember. You know, just 2 weeks ago, I was down in Harrison, Arkansas. I got to work Bob Orton Jr. You know, talk about the guy I watched WrestleMania 1 involved in the main event. You know, Cowboy Bob. I was like, oh, my God. You know, but he knew Sonny Myers quite well, so I've got a good rapport with him. So that was a great match. You know, in TCW, I've worked with, you know, Carlito, worked with Ricky Morton a couple times, which, you know, I always make time to pull up a chair and try and learn from that guy. And that's something that I'm lucky enough to come from the culture where I got into the business where you did that type of thing. Because I don't see it now. There's a lot of new guys that are in there that are on their phones or playing. I hate to sound like that old guy, old grizzled guy, but they don't take the time to pick the brains of the people that came before them that they could really learn from. But I've got to work with so many. I've been so grateful, you know, being from the Midwest, worked with, you know, Butch Reed was one of the ones I worked with for the first time that I learned so much from every time. You know, Trevor Murdoch, those guys like that from Harley Races that I've got to work with. I've learned from so many people. It's what's the old saying? It takes a village to raise a child. Well, in the wrestling community, it definitely takes a village to raise a wrestler, and I've been lucky to learn from some of the greats.
Now, was Bob Orton, did he have the cast on his arm?
He did. That damn thing hadn't healed up after 20 years. And, you know, I actually got clocked with it. So, you know, if it's what leads to success, you know, then that's, you know, I can't blame the guy. But, you know, and another guy that I want to throw a shout out to is Bobby Eaton, who works as one of our agents. Legitimately the nicest guy in wrestling, and you know, I try and pick his brain, you know, every single time I see him. But Bobby's one of those guys that couldn't tell you how he does it. He just goes and does, he's just great. He just, you know, he doesn't know how he does it. He just, you know, was a legend. So you know, he's a great guy to learn from. You know, if he'll drop the knowledge on you.
Right. Yeah. I don't know what it costs to get Bobby Eaton to come out and be your agent, but that's money well spent on a guy like that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. He's so underrated, and you know, he's just one of the people that, you know, should be. You know, he should be in the Hall of Fame, definitely. You know, if he's not in the Hall of Fame in the next couple of years, it'll be one of the true tragedies of wrestling.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. That would be a hell of a thing to do. And, you know, WrestleMania New Orleans, I mean, that Mid-South area, not necessarily a bad place to do a Midnight Express induction into the Hall of Fame.
So. WrestleMania is coming down to, you know, our neck of the woods because, like mm-hmm. I said, we're on Cox Sports television every Friday night. So, you know, we may have to go down there and check it out. You know,
is TCW then going to join the WrestleMania indie wrestling circus that takes place around WrestleMania?
Oh, like Lord, we don't ever try and be associated with anything else ever indie wrestling. we try and do our own thing. The only thing that we take part in every year is the Cauliflower Alley Convention, which is just absolutely great. I doubt it. I really doubt we'll do that type of thing. But who knows? You know, it's a wrestling business. Like, who can give you a definitive answer on anything ever in the wrestling business? So
That's the truth. So we asked this question. It's kind of a go-to question on this show, and you're perfect mm-hmm. for it because of your position in TCW and your situation in wrestling in general. Who's the one guy out there currently wrestling that we're not paying attention to outside of yourself that we should be paying attention to that would just kind of blow us away if we actually opened our eyes a little bit?
Let's see. In addition to myself, got to get myself over first. you know, my partner, Alan Steele out of Memphis, Bill Dundee trained him, superstar, a guy that's been in the business, you know, a lot longer than I have. Golden Boy, Greg Anthony, another guy who I think actually PWI gave him some love earlier this year about some, you know, let's see, kind of caught me off guard. There were a lot of guys that I used to work with up at Metro Wrestling in Kansas City that they didn't get near enough recognition that they – and I don't know what's going on with them now. I haven't heard if they're still running, but there were so many guys up there in Kansas City area that didn't get the love. And so many guys on the TCW roster that I don't think get the support. You know, one of the hot guys that we have now, Scott Phoenix, who's made just an incredible impact in TCW, you know, he's one of the guys that should be, you know, promoters should be, you know, knocking down his door trying to book. This guy should be getting incredible coverage. He's got an incredible look, incredible talent. He just happens to be, you know, in the middle of BFE Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows him. And that's kind of been the story of TCW is, you know, we're not on the coast. We're not in New England. So we don't get the love. People go, oh, it's a wrestling promotion based out of Arkansas. They can't be good. They can't be quality. We don't need to cover them. You know, it's been an uphill fight the entire way to get any kind of coverage whatsoever, and it's an anomaly, which we've been lucky because 411 Mania has been nice enough to throw us a bone every now and then and get some coverage out about that. But you know, it's one of those deals where we've taken the best wrestlers that we feel your question is geared towards and tried to bring them into TCW and give them that opportunity. You know, you have guys like John Saxton, who's been doing this for, you know, he's been doing this since my grandpa was young. And that's not a knock on John's age or anything, but he's just, for whatever reason, WCW overlooked him. For whatever reason, ECW didn't take him. For whatever reason, he got heat with somebody at WWE or WWF and it didn't work out. So that's, in the vein of your question, that's essentially what we're trying to do is showcase those talents every time you turn on the show every single week.
Yeah, no, it's funny because some of those names we've heard before, like Greg Anthony's name has come up with other guests before, and it just kind of goes to show you those people that are out there. Well, you talk about Louisiana, you know, we've got a group of women that we call the DeMarquettes, and one of them, Barbie Hayden's in Texas, and she has the hardest time because she lives in the middle of Texas, and people are like, you know, that flight from Texas. Yeah.
Oh, you know, yeah. I see, I've done shows with Barbie before, and she, you know, another prime example. And you know, I think we tried to get her on, but you know, she's one of those ones that doesn't have any problem getting booking. So it hasn't worked out with scheduling conflicts. But that's exactly what we're trying to point out. You know, women like her, you know, that should be showcased on a bigger, larger level, that are just for whatever reason not getting snubbed. She's a great talent.
Amazingly, these people show up and all of a sudden one day in developmental and half the internet's like, who? And it's because we weren't paying attention. So
yeah, exactly.
Like, what happens? They get that tryout, no one saw them coming, and next thing you know, they're moving to Orlando. So which does happen.
Yeah.
But this Friday, September 6, 2013, of course, TCW presents Tennessee Takeover at the Fairgrounds Sports Arena in Nashville, Tennessee. Doors open, VIP meet and greet at 5. Of course, show starts at 7. And, of course, they can hit up tcwwrestling.com for details. And even right now, you got 10% off of tickets on the website, too. So lots
absolutely
of great stuff.
Go to the website. Tickets are going fast. And like we talked about earlier, that interactive fan experience, we'll all be out there. Meet Tommy Dreamer, meet Doug Gilbert, meet Dan Severn, meet all the Rock and Roll Express, meet everybody you've ever wanted to meet. Come, we'll you know, shake hands and kiss babies, do whatever he wants to do.
Meet Michael Berry. I mean, come on. You know, Michael Berry.
We'll have some brand new Michael Berry and Genetic Perfection t-shirts available this Friday.
Of course. which I'm going to guess you might have had a hand in designing. I'm just going to guess.
Maybe. I'm not going to say. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, remind everybody where they can find you, whether it's Facebook, Twitter. What's the best way for people to find you if they want to give you a shout out or maybe have you on their show?
That's right. Facebook / Mr. Saturday Night Michael Berry, or at Twitter. Twitter's a great thing, isn't it? I mean, it's just, you know, it is just for the short attention span and the perfect world that we live in today. And you can get a hold of me at MSN_Berry. TCWWrestling.com is our website. We have a YouTube channel. You know, if you can't get a hold of me through one of those routes, then you probably don't need to be trying to get a hold of me.
You're probably not trying hard enough. That's for sure.
Exactly.
And definitely keep sending anything you guys release, keep sending my way, because I do try to forward on as much stuff to the bosses over at the 411 Mania in hopes that they will print it. So
absolutely.
I have a lot of people that send me things, and sometimes they print it, sometimes they don't. I don't have the clout to make sure they do, but usually if I forward it, they will print it. So keep those things coming. And we definitely got to do this again at some point with you in the future and talk some more wrestling and have a lot of fun. So best of luck this coming Friday. Hopefully it's a huge house, and hopefully you guys just knock them down in Nashville, and maybe that can become another market for you guys.
Absolutely. That'd be great. And you can expect results from me Monday morning in your email. And, guys, I just want to say thank you for having me on. Anytime that I get the opportunity to be showcased and win one more fan over, I truly, truly appreciate it, because it's a hard business, and it's a hard business to get fans, and it's a hard business to keep fans. So thank you, guys.
No problem. Anytime. Our listeners are pretty loyal and definitely do enjoy that. So I'm sure you won over more than one today, especially as genuine as you are. So we appreciate it. We hope to do it again soon.
Absolutely. Now I have to go watch Total Divas, so if you'll excuse me. We'll...
That makes two of us, you and Chad Perry, not me.
I love it.
Take it easy, Michael.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Here we go, Chad Perry, and the world now gets to know Michael Berry. So that's what we do on the Greg DeMarco Show.
That's right. That was a great interview.
Yeah, see, that's what we, you know, that's kind of our route, so to speak, is bringing in the people that not enough people know about and exposing them to a brand new talent. But we are not stopping. We're going to continue to move forward. It's time to go get another guest. So, Chad Perry, we actually get to turn around and do yet another song.
And I think, Greg, we're going to take a trip to Bad Street USA this time.
Of course. You know, the thing about Bad Street is that the further down the block you went, the badder it got. And you got to watch out for that. So, we'll be right back.
This is the One Girl Revolution, Taylor Hendricks, and you are listening to The Greg DeMarco Show.
we knew when we got here. They tried to put us away, but when they see us fall down the street, they ran the other way.
Black Freed is an NBA. Black Freed is the whole USA. Black Freed, Nancy and I. Your bed, that's a zero. Go ahead and make your bed, she'll be the cops call. She might well call it Army, or United States Marine. Don't take nobody to handle this bad street scene.
Bad street, Atlanta, PA. Bad street in the whole USA. Bad street, Nancy and I.
The burger got a black you in the barrel, yeah.
Your butt and you will respect me.
Come on, man.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. What's up with the fear? Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom. Exploding. Overpowering.
We are back with the Greg DeMarco Show. Greg DeMarco, Chad Perry filling in for the wrestling realist Patrick O'Dowd. And Sue Young as well. Chet, we don't make a big deal out of I've achieved guest for the second guest in the program. Just let you know how tradition works. I guess it just loses its luster. I don't know. But we do have our second guest here on the program, whether we're super privileged to bring on guys from all over the world and super excited to talk about some of the things that he's doing now with New England Championship Wrestling. As they present Bash 13, their 13th anniversary show this weekend. That is the NECW Heavyweight Champion, Antonio the Promise Thomas. Antonio, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you guys for having me, man. Man, I need your playlist. We got Bad Street USA, Men at Work, LL Cool J, man. This could already be one of the best interviews ever. I think the fans probably didn't want to listen to me. They just want to keep listening to whatever you guys are going to play.
I know. We've been playing the same songs for 3 years. They should be over that stuff by now.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll see. You never know, though. We do get some. We occasionally get a suggested song or two. So who knows? You should imagine the things I don't play. Yeah, that's a classic. That was our very first ever mid-show break song. But many of our listeners are going to recognize your name and work as a member of the Heartthrobs in the WWE. I know you spent about 2 years in the company. Looking back on that experience now, what did you learn from that? Like, what did you take away that you still can attribute back to your time with the WWE?
Oh, man, what didn't I learn? It was literally learning on the job because at the time I was only I'm about 11 years in now. At the time, I was only, you know, 2-3 years in, and whole new gimmick, you know, whole new way to work and tag team wrestling, which is all kind of thrust upon us all so suddenly, and then having to go up and work with You know, guys that, you know, William Regal, Tajiri, Hurricane, guys that have been working right away on live TV that have been working for, you know, 15 plus years already. It was very intimidating, and it was at first, and then, you know, you eventually settle in, and but it takes time, and you get better by working with the best, and we certainly got better, and, you know, yeah, God, I mean, there's so many, yeah, I could spend all day talking about the positives and the learning experiences from there, but those are a couple that stand out, just being in, you know, having Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, you know, Chris Jericho, all those guys on the road with you, doing house shows with you, asking them to watch your matches, Edge, and then some of the, you know, guys that are no longer really working anymore, guys that are retired, and you know, that's invaluable. So that itself right there, my God, I mean, if you can't learn from that, then just quit.
No, I can only imagine what that was like. Now I've read, and you can even dispel this if it's not true, that when you guys first signed in developmental in OVW, that you were the only one under contract, that your partner wasn't even under contract. Is that even true? And if so, was it weird going in like that?
It is true. It is true, actually. We had just started teaming in 2004. We'd known each other since I had my first match. So we'd known each other for about 2.5 years because we trained. We had the same trainer early on. And so we finally just started teaming up. We worked against each other, traveled, did everything. And we're literally like brothers and still are. So in 2004, we teamed up a little up here in the Northeast for the Eastern Wrestling Alliance, really, you know, kind of launched us into wanting to do tag team stuff. John moved down to OVW on his own. We did a tryout camp in March of that year, and he decided to, you know, we're both out of college at that point. He decided to pack up and move, and, you know, I felt kind of left out. I wanted to go down there, and you know, I went to TV, WWE TV, and up here in the Northeast in July, and I got signed right then. So John had moved down there on his own in June, and then I got signed in July, and was down there at the beginning of August, and John didn't get signed for some reason until February, right when the same day that Joey Mercury got signed. It was actually after we did a international heat match on Valentine's Day 2005, and that match created a buzz within, you know, the creative team, all the agents and whatnot, because they'd never fucking seen anything like us before from what we did in OVW. So right then and there, they said we were told the next day we were going to get called up. And so they had to sign them, and rightfully so. It was long overdue, and, you know, for a lot of guys. But, you know, that's the way they operate. There's no rhyme or reason as to who signed at what time or whatnot. But it all worked out. So, you know, but, yeah, that is true.
Awesome. So right now, Antonio, you're the reigning NECW heavyweight champion, and you have been since February 1st. What does it mean to you to be building a long singles reign as a champion?
First of all, to be NECW champion means a great deal to me. When I won the belt, I said it at the time, it was 10 years in the making, because that was really the first place that I started working regularly, you know, that was very prominent on the indie scene. And it meant a lot to me because it always, you know, wherever I'd gone, whether it's WWE or Japan or around the world, you know, I saw guys like Eddie Edwards and RJ Brewer, Wagner Brown, Bobby Fish, phenomenal workers hold the belt. I wanted to finally be the champion. I'd done everything else in NECW, never won the title, and it means a lot to represent the company, to have them put their faith in me, and I'm honored to be able to carry that title and defend it, and I plan on holding it for a long time, and I plan on walking out next Saturday, NECW birthday bash, 13th anniversary. I'm going to walk out with that title. I got the odds against me. It's kind of a strange set of circumstances. If either of my opponents pin me, then they win the title. And I'll be teaming with my good friend Slick Wagner Brown against Sean Burke and Jeremy Prophet. It's kind of like an old, not that we're old, but the new versus the not so new, I guess you kind of bill it as. So it means a lot to me, and at this time next week, if I were to come on your show, I will still be an ECW champion.
Right, so as you said, and he said, and Northeast Championship Wrestling presents the show this Saturday,
Greenland,
September
7th.
So what do you think has led to the longevity of the company? 13 years is a long time in professional wrestling.
Right. They've never been a company to focus on bringing in, throwing out, you know, just handing out sums of money to established guys. They have brought in established guys, but it's always been about the homegrown talent, about, you know, featuring and nurturing the local guys and New England Wrestling. It's called New England Championship Wrestling. And, man, I could go down the list of people that, you know, have gone on to WWE, TNA around the world. I mentioned a few of them before. Beth Phoenix, Frankie Kazarian. I believe they were the first promotion to bring in Doug Williams. They brought in the Briscoe brothers before, you know, in 2002, right when Ring of Honor first started. They brought in John Cena before I don't know if he was with WWE signed, but he was the prototype. He was still in UPW. They brought him in 2000 or 2001. It's always been about focusing on homegrown talent from around here, like myself, like Kofi Kingston, that have gone on to bigger and better things, Eddie Edwards. And it's not so much about, you know, losing money to bring in names that are well-known. It's been about establishing and building their own names and their own local names. So I think that's why it's been around as long as it has.
Yeah, and you talked about, you know, 13 years, and of course that brings us to Bash 13 this coming Saturday night. It is a heck of a card. I know you talked about the main event, and actually the last few episodes of NECW TV, which our listeners can see at NECW.TV, really details how the card came together. We talked about your rare circumstance of being in a tag match, but your title is still up for grabs. There's also a title versus hair match that I think some fans new to the promotion still might be interested in seeing. What's going on between those two guys?
The title versus hair match, I'm not sure. It's a classic title versus hair match. Johnny Thunder, the man who I beat for the NCW tip, puts his title on the line, and he doesn't have he shaved his head. So,
right.
He, for the longest time, had the flowing locks, but now he is going to be the one hopefully cutting and keeping his title on Saturday.
Yeah, because his opponent definitely seems to have so not a chip on his shoulder, but he's definitely in love with his hair. Looks like in love with himself, and definitely looks like somebody who I know he wanted to shout that TV title, but did not want to put his hair on the line. From what I saw on the show,
sensational Scott Levesque is—he's into himself. Johnny Thunder is a meat and potatoes guy. Nothing fancy about Johnny Thunder, and. You know, gave me a hell of a match, gave me all I could handle when I beat him for the title, and he is worthy to hold the TV championship. So, you know, it's a great semi-main event as well.
That's great. And here on the Greg DeMarco Show, we're very big on women's wrestling. So can you tell us about what we can expect from girls like Casey Ray, Mistress Belmont, Nikki Valentine at the show?
Right. There is you got Alexis, who is the World Women's Wrestling Champion,
mm-hmm.
One of the best in-ring female competitors there is going today. And she's going to be teaming with Casey Ray, who's a little spitfire, not as experienced as Alexis, but certainly eager, ready to take on Mistress Belmont, who certainly looks like she's taken Nikki Valentine under her wing, kind of a Mistress Belmont, serious woman with blue hair, black leather, dominatrix type ring material, I should say. But she can go. She wrestles. We trained, did a lot of training together under the late Steve Bradley and then under a guy by the name of Jeff Costa. I know what Mr. Spellmont is about. She knows every trick in the book. She knows hooks. She knows she's dangerous, and she's technically very, very sound. I'm very surprised that she's not on a bigger stage in terms of, you know, one of the female names that you're familiar with when you talk about Shimmer or Shine. But it's good to see women in tag team wrestling, and these girls can go. So it's not going to be hair pulling and clawing. They're going to wrestle, and, you know, it'll definitely be, if you're into women's wrestling, And I emphasize wrestling, then this will definitely be right up your alley.
That's great. And, of course, you've been doing you're a trainer yourself. And for someone like me who has aspirations to someday step in the squared circle, what would be the biggest piece of advice you would want to give to aspiring pro wrestlers?
You have to love professional wrestling. You have to love all the shit that you got to eat, all the pain, all the injuries, sacrifices that you got to make. Because wrestling can be the greatest, when it's going good, it can be the greatest. It's the greatest thing in the world. It is to me, if you love it. And to just be patient, be humble, and just work hard. You know, be mm-hmm. safe. Take care of your opponent. Take care of yourself. There's so many pieces of advice. There's not just one. One thing I didn't do early on in my career was I didn't enjoy the journey. I was so intent on just making it to the WWE. And within a couple of years, guess what? I was there, and I wasn't ready. You can't be good or a professional at anything in a short amount of time. It takes 10 years to be, you know, 10,000 hours. It takes a long, long mm-hmm. time to be an expert or a professional in anything. And so I wanted everything so quick right away. And I still do sometimes in certain things. But be patient. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Just be patient and persistent. Work hard and just be humble and treat others You know, it's life advice. Treat others the way you'd want to be treated.
Great advice.
No, it is. It is great advice. And you're in not, I don't want to say a weird circumstance, but you're in a category where you hold a master's degree. And some people dive right in to professional wrestling graduation.
I was working towards a master's degree.
Oh, okay.
In education. I have a couple degrees.
Oh, okay.
So I got a bachelor's, I got a couple of associates, and I'm a couple credits short of another bachelor's degree in exercise science. So, and I'm a certified phys ed teacher. So, yeah, I got a whole shitload of stuff.
Gotcha. So would you say, would you recommend someone diving into wrestling? Do you think people should get that degree first? Like, would you have a recommendation on that side of things?
Oh, you need that degree. You can't count on wrestling, especially today. Hey, if this is your dream, man, go for it. Do it. That's why I love training guys and girls. And I love training people and helping out any way I can, anything that I've learned. I love learning myself and training alongside with these all the people I meet and all the people I train. But you need, how many roster spots are there in WWE? Outside of WWE, there's not too many people strictly making a living at it. And, you can only take so many, your body can only handle so much. Your head certainly can only handle so much trauma and bumps and you need to have something outside of wrestling, because the people that the tragic stories you hear about in wrestling is people that don't have anything outside wrestling. And wrestling is not real life. You need to focus on real life. If you can go to college and go to school while you are training, that's great. But if it's something, if it's either or, stay in college, get your education, find a trade, get a good paying job with benefits, and definitely with benefits, especially medical.
That's right. Great advice for anyone who wants to be a wrestler. So just to review for everyone, NECW presents Bash 13 this Saturday, September 7th, at the Cove Community Center in Beverly, Massachusetts. Bell time is 7 p.m. For tickets and more info, you guys can visit necw.tv. Antonio, how can the masses of people who want to support you, how can they reach out and talk to you? Where can they get at you?
You can hit me up at Twitter, at PromiseThomas. You can find me on Facebook, although I usually just promote stuff on there, but if you want to get in touch with me, just say hi, whatnot. If you want to inquire about training to become a professional wrestler, you can also hit me up on there or on Twitter. I run Ring Sport Pro Wrestling Gym right outside Springfield, Mass. And that's pretty much it. Also, check out NECW TV. Channel 62 on Cozy TV. If you live in the Boston area, Thursday nights, 12 a.m., 12 midnight. And if you don't, go to necw.tv. All the information's on the website. You can watch it on YouTube. The views keep growing, and we want to continue to get those views to keep growing. And I take that as a responsibility upon myself as a champion to make NECW bigger, better. There's a new atmosphere to the TV show at the new building in Beverly. It's more of an old-time, old boxing-type feel with the dark arena with the lights on the ring. It's really cool, so check it out. TV show is only a half hour, so it's a whole lot packed in a half hour. You're not sitting there for 2, 3, 4 hours DVRing through stuff. You get as much as you could get in a half hour's worth of TV time. So,
Yeah, exactly. The show is well done. I mean, it's the perfect complement to the live product. You don't watch it and think you don't need to do anything else. Like, you watch it and you think, I got to go see this. So it really is kind of the perfect thing. I mean, I can attest to, you know, I even tweeted this out earlier, like, watching the show, kind of getting caught up on New England Championship Wrestling, I became a huge fan of Alexis Nevaeh. Like, it wasn't as familiar, and I'm like, this girl can go. And so, yeah, people should definitely check that out on YouTube and, of course, NECW.TV. Antonio, we appreciate all the time that you spent with us today. I love hearing those stories and the passion that you talk about for the wrestling business, that you have to love it. No one can question that about you. Like, it comes out in everything that you say and everything that you talk about. And I definitely hope that success just continues for NECW, for you with the training and everything else. It just bigger and better things, and hope that continues for you.
Thank you. Likewise, man. This was awesome from the music to everything, man. You guys, no, seriously, this was great, man. I'll come on anytime, and anything I can ever do to help you out, man, just let me know. So
no problem. We'll probably take you up on that in the future. And our main goal is to have fun. That's you know, we don't look to create controversy. We just like to have fun and laid back, and it's just, you know, we've often said that being a guest on our program is really no different than if we were sitting around the table for a couple of beers or a couple of diet sodas, depending on what your preference is. So that's kind of what we do.
Cool.
Excellent. Well, good luck this weekend. I hope the show is a huge success, and we'll do it again soon.
All right. Thank you very much, Greg.
Anytime. There you go, Chad Perry. Indie wrestling, man, that's what it's all about.
That's right.
Really, you know,
we get the lifeblood of American wrestling right now.
It is. It's like the late William Moody once said, you know, it's the roots of the tree. The tree is professional wrestling. You kill the roots, the tree's going to die. So it's, you know, the college football and the NFL can only put so many professional wrestlers into the WWE. You know, if you look at the recent news about who, you know, it's big news when developmental signees get their names, and that kind of came out this week. And so we found out that Sammy Callahan is now Solomon Crowe, and then Sean Ricker is now Slate Randall. And it's just, you know, and then like some former football player is now this, and no one cares. But the indie wrestlers, like, they come in and look at the card right now. You know, look at the Shield. You've got one former professional football player in Roman Reigns, who comes from wrestling royalty in his family, and then Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, products of independent wrestling. Daniel Bryan, product of independent wrestling that no one thought would ever make it to where he's at. He didn't even think he'd make it to where he's at.
Exactly. And you keep going down that list. You have CM Punk. You have, I mean, those four are so close to the top of the card. You have Antonio Cesaro, who's made a great impact. And there's plenty of guys at NXT, like Adrian Neville, Tasha Sono, Sami Zayn, countless others that a lot of people watch grow on the indies. And if everything works out for them, people are going to get to watch them continue to grow right into WWE and become stars.
Yeah, it's funny. I almost started going to other names that are on the indie scene and realized I would completely steal what we're about to start talking about momentarily. So I don't want to do that. I do, however, want to go and refill my water bottle. So we are going to play yet another music, another quick song, and we'll not get through the entire song. I can promise you that. Just long enough for us to take a quick break, regroup, grab a beverage, and come on back. So as I scroll down through the sound bites here, the only one left is the man called Sting. So hang on for about 2 minutes, listeners. We'll be right back.
This is the One Girl Revolution, Taylor Hendricks, and you are listening to The Greg DeMarco Show.
My name's Leanne from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
And two-time VOC Nation Babe of the Week, Leanne Marie?
Cool. Yes, it is. I heard it was a little Irishman's birthday over there, so I figured I'd get the call. Happy birthday. You know what else I heard is true? The Irishmen have a curse.
That's an urban legend.
Are you sure? Well, hopefully you can prove it to me that you're not.
Oh, hey.
Hello.
I'll have a surprise for you in Philly. So whenever you come here and you're not too scared, you can contact me. This is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
And, of course, theme from Curry Man, or Gorilla Radio, depending on what you like to call it. But this is the Greg DeMarco Show with Greg DeMarco and Chad Perry at CP Goat on the Twitter. Of course, at Greg DeMarco Show on the Twitter as well. That sound by just a little shout out there to my best friend, the wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd. We'll be back on with us next week. And I don't know, though, Chad Perry vying for the position. Chad, maybe this will make you bring up the Monday show even sooner. Is it biting you? Are you getting that itch, Chad?
Oh yeah, Greg. It's definitely biting me pretty hard that I want to get back on board. Just got to try to find that all important co-host to jump on board with me.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's the challenge sometimes. You know, I've often said that I would never do this show. If Patrick O'Dowd quit, I would quit too. I don't know if it's really true anymore, but it was back then, so it sounds good to say. Now if he quit, I'd probably just replace him. I already have Sue Young, although she can't be on every week, so, you know, it'd become, you know, the Greg DeMarco Show with Chad Perry. If we'd do something, we'd figure it out. But, yeah, the all-important co-host is definitely a challenge. But we are continuing to hashtag support indie wrestling here today on the Greg DeMarco Show, as we're going to talk some independent wrestling. And so, Chad, take it away.
That's right. No game this week. More headlines, as they would say on PTI, because who wants to listen to this Greg and I banter about a game? Rather listen to us banter about wrestling.
Exactly.
And for indie wrestling this week, it really doesn't get any bigger. This is the Battle of Los Angeles weekend. The new champion, Battle of Los Angeles champion, was crowned yesterday. William Regal was there scouting
there,
for WWE.
In the house. Yes.
What's that, Greg?
William Regal was in the house. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
That was amazing news to me, and I could only imagine. You got to know the talent stepped up for that one. I mean, talk about, you know, that premise of got to get my shit in. Like, this time was preceded by William Regal's in the building. I got to get my shit in. So.
That's right. So, you know, WWE is watching the indies, and that is not any more prevalent than in the last year. We see a lot of guys who have become indie darlings, as we like to refer them as, head up north, as they would say back in the day. We've lost guys like El Generico, Sammy Callahan, Samurai Del Sol. And Greg, if you want to name some other guys we've lost, then kind of give me your opinion. Who do you think, who was the biggest loss in the past year for independent wrestling?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think you just said the two that I had in mind when I first saw this question. One who has kind of almost been in the pinnacle in indie wrestling, not quite, but that's El Generico. He was sort of the indie wrestling poster child. Guy that I said, and I said on this program, would not make it in the WWE, and I am going to be wrong. I am going to be very wrong. They took the mask off of him, which I thought was crazy. I was wrong. If you have not seen the best 2 out of 3 falls match between he and Antonio Cesaro, and if you haven't, head on over to the Yes, Yes, Yes group on the Facebook where I posted that match. A great match, and just shows you what that guy is capable of, shows you what Antonio Cesaro, another part of indie wrestling, is capable of. And you know, he finished up. I mean, last December, he main evented Final Battle against Kevin Steen for Ring of Honor in a ladder war. And now here he is. And I think he's going to be a post-WrestleMania call-up. If they can get the right storyline for him, I think he'll get called up. And I wouldn't be shocked if they threw a mask back on him just for the marketability purposes, but I don't think that's going to happen because of the other name that you said that I believe was a big loss, and that's Samurai Del Sol. I think he was picked up early in terms of indie wrestling, so to speak, because he was just catching steam in the world of independent wrestling. I think had he stayed on the indie scene for another couple of years, we would have seen him, you know, destroying people in the Battle of Los Angeles, going to Ring of Honor, and he would have really been that go-to name on the independent scene. He wasn't because he ended up signing with the WWE. Pretty much at their first opportunity they saw him, they signed him up, which should tell you something. Sin Cara sucks and cannot, you know, go a match without dislocating his finger, breaking something, going on, you know, getting suspended for whatever reason. He's not long for this world. Rey Mysterio has had an amazing career and is probably going to retire here in the next couple of years because every time he comes out, he gets injured and has to have surgery. And so I think he's going to be gone soon, which opens the door for who is now named Kalisto, assuming I'm pronouncing that right, the former Samurai Del Sol. I think he's going to get pulled up sooner rather than later. I don't think he's going to have a long stint in developmental, and I think he could be the next masked guy that the WWE throws their weight behind, and I think he could be a tremendous success for the WWE. So that's why I think he's one of the biggest losses. I would actually say that Del Sol is a bigger loss to indie wrestling than Generico, simply because he hadn't had the major indie run just yet. He was on the cusp of it, whereas Generico had been on an indie run for years. And I don't want to say he'd done it all, but pretty damn close to it.
Yeah, and you know, with Del Sol, he was a guy that when I saw the headline that he'd been picked up, you know, I was pretty surprised because, like you said, he'd come in and with a big way with Gabe's companies, and it started to slowly work his way, CCW dates and PWG dates, but I feel like he wasn't, you know, in the spotlight for any more than a year. But like you said, the Sin Cara project has been a giant failure. And by this point, I think on WWE's master plan, they had anticipated Sin Cara as being a main eventer. It would be Sin Cara versus Del Rio in a feud coming up, not, oh, we need to hobble Rey Mysterio back out and have him feud with Del Rio for the eighth time in the last 5 years. So I definitely can see what you're thinking when it comes to he could be called up soon, but I would worry just because of the fact that Sin Cara was another one that was called up soon, and he, you know, like he'd had that experience in Mexico, and he got called up, kind of skipped over having to develop a WWE style, and he struggled. And I think that Del Sol is young enough that, you know, he'll probably be down there. I'd say, you know, maybe next summer we'll see him come up. I think you're right on with Sami Zayn. It'll be post-WrestleMania. I've been reading people that want him brought up now. But if he got brought up now, start bitching because the mid-card is so full. There's no space for him right now.
Yeah, you don't want him brought up now. You think you do. But you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You in no way want Sami Zayn brought up now. He needs to continue to tear it up down in NXT and prove that he can do it with other guys. He has had countless matches with Antonio Cesaro, and they've been amazing. We all know that Antonio Cesaro can wrestle with anyone, and we've seen it, and we've seen what he can do. And by the way, for all you people complaining that Antonio Cesaro should be in the main event, he's being misused, he's been up for 2 years. Okay, Dolph Ziggler's been up since like 2006. Okay, stop worrying about Antonio Cesaro. He will be fine. He will get a run. Don't you worry. I honestly think that what we're looking at in the near future in the WWE, I don't think we're going to see any more John Cena-like 10-year runs at the top. I think the runs that we're going to see are going to be shorter, and I think that they're still going to be just as good, just as profitable, but they're so loaded, but a lot of guys are coming up at an older age. And so I think we're going to see 3, 4, 5-year runs, but this 10-year run at the top, I don't know that we're going to see it until they really get a younger talent that they can latch on to. And I don't know how old Del Sol is. So he could be a guy like that if they latch onto a masked wrestler. And I think they'll keep him masked because I think there's a profitability in there in the future and that there's going to be a void on the roster soon enough for him. But I think your timeline, I know that was last week's game, I think your timeline is pretty accurate in terms of when we could see a Del Sol, a Kalisto on the main roster. I would think, you know, WrestleMania 31 could be a great place to pass that torch from Rey Mysterio to Kalisto if Rey Mysterio can remain in one piece long enough to pull that off.
Right. And, you know, I definitely agree with you when it comes to the we won't see the 10-year run in the future because that's how wrestling's worked. You know, we had Bruno at the top for, you know, 20 years, and then when he left, you know, Backlund went to the top for a few. Sheik spent a little bit of time at the top before Hogan came in. Hogan had his 10-year run. Then you had guys like Bret, Shawn, and Austin, and then we kind of went in that transitional era where I guess you could say Triple H was the man on top, really, and then it's been John Cena. So, you know, we're about due to go back into an era where we'll have guys like Daniel Bryan on top, maybe Ziggler, maybe some of these other guys that are coming up right now. And, you know, of course, just like the top stars at WWE have to be replaced, when a top star like El Generico, who, you know, anywhere he would go on the Indies, it was a big deal. You knew that if you bought a ticket to a show, it didn't matter if it was in a high school gym, that if El Generico was on the card, you were going to have at least one match that you could go home and tell your friends that match kicked ass. So, I mean, the thing with indie wrestling is in the last, you know, 9 months since Generico's left, do you think, I don't know if you think, I'm going to say who I think has done this, if anyone has stepped up to take that role. And in my opinion, the man that's come closest to taking that Generico role is the current PWG champion, Adam Cole. Cole and PWG, he has just been on a phenomenal tear for the past year and a half. The little bit of CCW work I've seen, which is mainly limited to his work against Sami Callihan, is also very good. And, of course, Ring of Honor, I mean, he came up, I want to say it's 2 or 3 years now he's been with Ring of Honor, and consistently he has some good to great matches. And when it comes to working as a heel, I don't think anyone's doing better in the indies right now than Adam Cole. So, Greg, who, outside of, you include Adam Cole and then some other guys who are top, but who do you think is kind of floundering down there that we could see really rise up to the top and, you know, become the next big indie star?
Well, and that's, and you kind of led me where I was going to go anyway. In terms of who has done the best to take in their place, I would honestly say the answer is no one. Simply because the crop has been thinned, but kind of the same guys are still leading the way. Kevin Steen's still on top. Johnny Gargano's now been the Open the Freedom Gate champion for quite a long time. He's always been there. You look at PWG, like now Joey Ryan's kind of back in there. You do have a guy like Adam Cole who's kind of come back up, but he's not that leading guy in a company right now. But I think that we're coming upon that next era. Like the stars that have been pulled away now aren't the type of indie stars that Bryan Danielson, Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels, like those guys are a different level. And I think we're about to see that next resurgence of guys in indie wrestling. Michael Elgin is a name that immediately comes to mind. You know, who knows? Kyle O'Reilly just won the 2013 Battle of Los Angeles. Adam Cole wins it last year, and look where he is now for PWG. So I really think that some people are getting ready to take that step up. And then right behind them, I mean, how many times do we need to sing the praises of guys like Ethan Page and Josh Alexander on this show? They just keep showing up more and more all over the world of independent wrestling. And I think those two guys, once Ring of Honor finally opens their eyes and uses them again, like they've kind of already promised them, I think those guys are going to take off as well and then sort of start to fill that void in. Because let's be honest, some indie talent is just indie talent, and some indie talent is talent waiting to explode, and that talent's out there. And so I think we're still waiting for that next big resurgence of indie wrestling. It's going to happen, I think, in the next 12 months, 12 to 18 months, and I think it's going to be great for independent wrestling because I don't think the WWE is going to pull all those guys away because they're already kind of stocking NXT right now.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely dead on. And we talked about the WWE mid-card being stacked, but the NXT
you know, which I guess we just kind of call the undercard, you know, the guys that are really honing their craft right now, it is extremely sad. You have guys like Consequences Creed, Xavier Woods now, who was signed from TNA, my God, 4 years ago, and I know he's been in school while he's been attending. I mean, he's still down there. Guys like Corey Graves. There's so many talented guys down there. You don't, it's almost silly when you only, and it sounds ridiculous, I'm saying this, WWE only has 6 hours of television a week. So when you only have 6 hours of television a week to bring up more guys, because what are you going to do with them? Unless they were to go back to something along the lines of actually having a brand extension, which allowed, you know, us to see the mid-card feuds and the exclusive pay-per-views, you don't really have space for them right now. And, of course, they had a training camp this past weekend. They brought in some 30 guys, and the two guys that report say impressed the most, and I believe you can take it with a grain of salt because I think it's what everyone's going to report anyways, are the American Wolves, Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards, who we discussed last week on this show. So with those guys, you know, they could be going up. That leaves a big void in Ring of Honor. Another thing that's left a big void in indie wrestling, though, Greg, is the loss of Chikara over the last year. So how do you think the loss of Chikara might hinder indie wrestlers growing? And do you see any promotions that you think could become, you know, the next Chikara? I know wrestling is trying to basically piggyback off of that legacy, but what other promotions are we going to be looking at besides Ring of Honor and PWG to be a big indie promotion?
You know, it's funny. The loss of Chikara, I think, has had a different impact on indie wrestling that I'll get to in a second. Chikara was the promotional definition of a niche product, and it's not a knock on Chikara whatsoever. They did what they did, and they did it extremely well. Who else could to put the 1-2-3 Kid and Mario Giannini together in 2012? No one could pull that off. You know, the Heartthrobs, we just had Antonio Thomas on. They reunited in Chikara. Chikara did some amazing things, and no one – wrestling is Chikara segmented into like 8 different forms. No one is going to replace what Chikara was doing because Chikara was special. And the only person that will replicate what Chikara did is if Chikara comes back. People will try, and it just they won't be able to accomplish that same thing that Chikara did. And I hope Chikara comes back for that reason. But it does open up some opportunity for some companies to step up. And a big one that I think is going to step up over the next year, and they've been around for a while already, and that's AIW. Absolute Intense Wrestling. They're gaining steam. They've had some eye pay-per-views. They're kind of going to the Shimmer model with their Girls Night Only shows, where they're now taping 2 in October, and they're bringing in all kinds of talent, Taylor Hendricks and Tana Garrett, just to name a few. Veda Scott returns and gets her title shot there as well. They're really bringing in some amazing talent. They're stepping their game up in terms of production. You know, I've had some conversations with John Thorne, the promoter, and in fact, we're supposed to have a guest on last week who wasn't able to make it, and trying to reschedule him to bring him back for a future show, but they're really kind of stepping their game up. You know, I don't see anybody coming out of Southern California because outside of PWG, those promotions doing everything they can to sort of cut each other's legs out from under them.
Yeah.
And I know some people are really big on Pro Wrestling Experience down in North Carolina, but I don't think they're going to get much bigger than where they are because they're essentially just like a subsection of Ring of Honor. And so it doesn't make them unique enough to really explode. I don't think Dragon Gate USA is going to grow beyond where they are right now because they've purposefully moved from a Japanese promotion here in America to an American promotion that occasionally uses Japanese talent, and I think they've lost what made them special, so to speak. In fact, if I were Johnny Gargano, as soon as that contract is up, I'm out the door, even if it's not to WWE or TNA, even if it's to a Ring of Honor, because I think he actually needs a bigger stage than what he's on now because he is amazingly talented and should probably be a bigger name than he is on the independent scene. And thank God for a PWG that can use people despite the contracts that they hold in other places. So I think we're going to see an AIW step up. If PWG wanted to become bigger, I think now would be the opportunity for them to do so. They just don't want it.
Right. Yeah, as far as Johnny Gargano goes, it's been great that PWG finally brought him in earlier this year, because I know a lot of people, you know, including myself, who mainly follow, you know, those big three promotions, Dragon Gate, / Evolve, PWG, and Ring of Honor. Gargano has basically done everything he can do in Gabe's promotions. Gabe can bring in, you know, new guys from Dragon Gate, the real Dragon Gate, over, but it's still just, you know, we've seen him face Tozawa, we've seen him face Chuck Taylor, we've pretty much seen it all. So Gargano, you know, either Gabe and Ring of Honor need to come to some agreement where they can share talent, or Gargano needs to, you know, and it kind of sucks because I know that he's probably going to have a hard time with that because he feels that Gabe probably gave him everything. But it's time he moves on, and Gargano's a guy that broke in really through the AIW promotion and his match with Bryan Danielson a few years ago when Bryan had been temporarily released from WWE. AIW definitely is a good solution, you know, to come in and be that number three indie promotion or whatever. Another good Midwest is AAW Pro, which has really featured over the past couple of years the rise of Michael Elgin. Elgin and Silas Young, most people have probably seen their matches in Ring of Honor, but they had a phenomenal series of matches in AAW Pro with Elgin chasing the belt. That was just some great stuff. Some of the best indie wrestling from last year. And recently they brought in guys like Brian Kendrick, David Richards wrestles there. Their biggest problem to me, though, is that their undercard is pretty lacking. They have guys that, you know, they have the characters, but they don't quite have the wrestling ability. It's not a knock, because there's definitely some great guys. Mr. Miller is down there. That's one that I'm guessing a lot of people haven't heard of. But Jay Miller, Mr. Miller, is somebody who, you know, he could definitely be a guy that we could see rising up in the near future. So with that, though, Greg, you know, we talked about who can become the next big indie stars. Even if Eddie and Davey go to WWE, you know, that still leaves plenty of guys out there. You know, Roderick Strong, who seems like he'd be a lifelong indie guy. But as we've seen over the past few years, with the rise of Bryan Danielson, with the signing of El Generico, WWE is just going to take who they want. They seem to be going left of the mold. Even Sami Callihan is a guy who I would not have penned as being a guy going to WWE when he did. So, you know, I know you've said in the past on this show that Kevin Steen, there's no chance he would go to WWE. But really, I think that anybody at this point, especially with the change in regimen, could be going up. So over the next year, Greg, why don't you pick five people? They can be female, they can be male, they can be tag teams, whatever. Pick five people who you think WWE is going to look at and to signing.
Geez, five people. That can almost be tough. Does that count Richards and Edwards? Because I think they're gone.
No official contract has been signed, so I mean,
all right.
I don't see
I'm
why
going Richards and Edwards. I honestly think they're gone. I think Richards and Edwards are going to go. And they're going to sign with WWE. And I think TNA is crazy for not trying to get them like they did with McGinnis, try to kind of snatch them out from another WWE because they could have an impact right away. No pun intended there. Other people that I could see, and I really didn't have a pun intended, just kind of came out. You know, if you look at Ring of Honor, I think Michael Elgin is a guy that he could definitely – I don't know what his contract status is with Ring of Honor, so the next 12 months, maybe not. Gargano could be a guy whose contract comes up and he skips that step and goes to the WWE and signs up with NXT. I mean, look at Seth Rollins. I kind of look at those guys very similar and they are. In terms of other talent, you know, it just really depends on who steps up on the indies. Women's wrestling is a hard one to pick out from because there is so much talent in on the indies, but some of them are older and nearing the end of their career. You know, they kind of snatch them up when they can. You could also look internationally to see who they're going to pick up in indie wrestling. I mean, a Jesse McKay is one that I could see the WWE going after. because she's got that look that they would want to bring in. I mean, you look at the success of Paige. She's the one that everybody wants them to bring up right now. So from a female perspective, you just don't know, because probably not the ones that you want them to sign up that they're going to sign up, which is, you know,
right.
Not necessarily a bad thing. It's just kind of our focus as indie wrestling fans.
Yeah. And you know, I'm trying to think of my five right here. And obviously, Richard and Edwards seem like very good bets. One guy who has WWE written all over him is Brian Cage, who mostly competes out in PWG and has a huge following out there. Personally, from the work I've seen from him, I'm not a big fan, but that doesn't mean that I don't think that, you know, given time in NXT under the proper tutelage, that he could not grow. And I mean, the guy, he might just have a little bit of issue passing the wellness violations. Leave it at that. But,
well, the thing about Brian Cage is that he's been there. He was there in 2008, 2009, and got released. And he's a guy they could bring back, but I think you're dead on with the wellness violation. he's jacked and not necessarily in a good way. And I think they made the right call when they kind of traded him in for Sean Ricker, who I think could do big things. You know, still has an amazing physique, a great talker, and I think could end up being a bigger success in the WWE long term.
Yeah. You know, as far as the women go, I really can't say. You know, I'd love to see Taylor Hendricks get brought up, but again, it's such a crapshoot when it comes to the women and who's going to get brought up. Women are going to get brought up, and then they're going to be let go before they get there, because you're going to have girls like Eva Marie who are models and just kind of want to stand around and look pretty. It's unfortunate, but it's definitely how things end up going. You know, I don't know if I can come up with a definite five. Obviously, Davey and Eddie, like I said, I'm going with them. Either Cole or O'Reilly, I feel they shouldn't be interchangeable at this point, but just the way they came up together makes them still interchangeable to me. I'm much higher on Cole's work, but if WWE's signing Davey Richards and in 8 months they see Davey Richards really working out, Kyle O'Reilly's going to have a good chance of coming in.
Right.
He's essentially Davey Richards light. Other guy, Michael Elgin, like you said, would be a great choice. I'm trying to go through indie guys right now, and I'm kind of coming up with a lot of smaller guys like ACH, who is a great performer, but definitely still has some honing on the indies to go. You know, if TNA stays around, I could see Kevin Steen making a couple appearances in TNA. Maybe nothing nothing of substantial, but and then if the tag teams, I'm going to throw this out there. Personally, there's no team out there. There's no wrestling act out there, WWE anywhere, that I enjoy watching more than the Young Bucks. So I think if WWE really ever is serious about their tag division again, I would not be surprised. Actually, I'm just going to predict the Young Bucks will be brought up to WWE NXT in the next year. I'll be very sad to see them go from the PWG scene, but there's no one better out there when it comes to tag team wrestling. And when WWE looks at how much money they really did make off of the guys like the Hardy Boys and that the feud they had the early part of last decade with the Dudleys and Edge and Christian, I think they should look at the Young Bucks and, you know, see dollar signs.
You know, I agree with you, but I don't think it's going to happen for the Young Bucks, and it pains me to say that. I don't know what it is. They can't even stick around with Ring of Honor, and I don't know if it's a backstage attitude deal or what's going on, but there's got to be something there, something to the attitude issue with them. I know the whole stupid Booker T handshake thing was way overblown, but there's got to be something there, or else they would already be there. Like when they were gone from TNA, I just can't, you know, they've been given looks by WWE, they haven't been picked up. I don't know. I just, for some reason, there's something we don't know that's keeping that from happening, in my opinion. It's not a good thing. It's unfortunately a bad thing, but it just hasn't happened for them, and I really wish that it would. I just don't think it's going to, and I have no good reason other than there's got to be something there that we don't know about for those guys. So who knows? Who knows? Hopefully I'm wrong, and hopefully the Young Bucks will make it to the WWE. I just don't see it. I actually thought you were going to say the Briscoes when you were talking about their act and how talented and over they are. And especially with TNA. If the rumors are true and TNA really is cutting costs and really wants to focus on the undiscovered talents, we could see some of this indie talent end up in TNA. It would mean a lot more cuts from the company, but 2014, things would look very different in TNA if at least some of these rumors are true. And you mentioned Kevin Steen, and you mentioned what I've said about Kevin Steen in the past, that I could not see him playing a role in the WWE or TNA. And I mentioned this with Patrick O'Dowd a couple weeks ago. I was watching Raw, and I was not facing the television at the time. And I heard Bray Wyatt talking. And in my mind, it was Kevin Steen. Like, he sounded just like Steen does. And it hit me, and I was like, Steen could go. Because look at Bray Wyatt. Look at his physique.
Exactly.
And look at Kevin Steen. And then I was like, oh, but Bray Wyatt's already there. So maybe that was the only spot that Kevin Steen could have occupied. I don't know. So maybe he could go to TNA and occupy that spot, or maybe there's room for another out-of-shape guy in WWE who's in shape cardiovascular-wise and can go, just doesn't have the physique, the look that they would be looking for in the WWE. But I do worry that, you know, Bray Wyatt has the only spot that Kevin Steen could have possibly held, which could potentially hold him back. But it showed me that there's at least a room for Kevin Steen to go and do something different than what he does now. Because I guess before I could never see him, because they wouldn't let Kevin Steen be Kevin Steen the way he is now. And I couldn't see a character he could play. But that's why I'm not working for WWE, because look at what they've done with Bray Wyatt. So if TNA has that character in them somewhere, then I could see Kevin Steen playing that role. Otherwise, he's going to keep selling T-shirts and keep living off the T-shirt sales, which has gone well for him anyway. So let him keep on doing that.
That's right. So one more guy, Greg, that, you know, I feel like I didn't mention briefly, but we didn't really cover if you could go, is a guy that's been in Ring of Honor since 2003, Roderick Strong. What do we say there?
I said it once before on this show. It sounds silly, but Roderick Strong is so skinny. He looks like a kid. You know how wrestling, they talk about guys rolling around in their underwear? That's what Roderick Strong looks like to me. A dude, a normal guy, rolling around in his underwear. I just don't think you look at him anymore and see a professional wrestler, which is terrible because he can go like no one's business. And his promo skills are not as bad as people say they are. He's not a great talker, but he's not this terrible talker that people say he is. I've seen some decent promos out of him. I would say Eddie Edwards is a better talker than even Roderick Strong is. Roddy can go. I think Roddy's going to be a guy who had his little run in TNA, maybe gets another one on a per-deal basis, but, you know, and maybe he ends up, like, you know, signing on a trainer when he's in his late 30s or something like that. Who knows? But I don't think we're going to see him on WWE television at all.
I don't either. And I feel like he's about to fill the Chris Hero role of the indies and the guy that's done it all, been all around. And, you know, I don't know about Chris Hero. If we go back to guys we didn't think they would make it up there, I don't think Chris Hero, the current Cassius Ohno, would ever get a call up. He's been on the indies for so long, and he was a skinny, skinny guy. And apparently that's still his problem, is if he hasn't beefed up enough for WWE standard. I don't see Roddy going up. You think much more highly, apparently, of his talking than I do. I had Roddy as a wrestler. I've met him in person. He's a very nice guy. But as far as listening to him talk, you know, Truth Martini was not the way to go, putting him with him, because I don't want to listen to Truth Martini talk either. But, you know, Roddy's a guy who definitely would be a solid hand in whatever company he works for. But I don't think he'll be WWE. And I think Roddy's a guy that we'll get to continue enjoying on the indies for more years to come, Greg.
And maybe someday they'll actually let him win the Battle of Los Angeles. Like, maybe they'll finally let him do that, and he could have a hell of a run in PWG. You know, people still talk about Cassius Ohno, get the call up Cassius Ohno. He's 33 years old, and come WrestleMania 30, he'll be 34. And he's in developmental. Like, if he gets a run, it's not going to be a big one. And I'm not sold that he's going to get a run. If this were odds makers, the higher percentage would be on him getting released versus him getting actually called up to the roster. If this were versus, I would pick released over getting the call up. I just don't see it happening for him as an active competitor. He's another guy that I could see ending up training people in the long-term future as well. Or maybe he gets a TNA run if he does get released. Who knows? I'm sorry to all of you. I'm a huge fan. I'm just trying to think in terms of reality, and I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think you're pretty spot on there. It is sad. He's a great wrestler, but, I mean, his age is going to play a hindrance. Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, John Cena, they're all right around that 34 to 36 range, and they're at their peak right now. Cena's been there 10 years. Bryan, or Punk's been there, you know, what are we going on, 7 years now? 8 years, we count his year in developmental. So, just the window's kind of closed. If we had 8 years to Cassisono, he's in his early 40s. And, you know, not everyone's Diamond Dallas Page.
No, not at all. Maybe he needs to get some of that. Maybe if Cassisono invested in some DDP yoga, he could solve these problems that the WWE has with him. John Cena, by the way, 36. CM Punk, 34. He'll be 35 for the end of this year. Daniel Bryan, 32. So, okay. As is Dolph Ziggler, by the way. Just, you know, Cody Rhodes still in his 20s. So, I just want to point out, I think he's like 28 now. So, you know, if you're looking at the future, you know, I think Damian Sandow's like 31. So, I mean, again, these runs are just not going to be as long as we've seen in the past. And that's fine. You know, all four members of the Shield, 27 and all three members of the Shield, 27 and 28. So, yeah, I had a fourth member. It's just wishful thinking. 27 and 28.
I think I missed a news item this week.
No, it was just another tweet from Sami Zayn talking about how he believes in the Shield. All those guys, 27 and 28. So, again, if you're talking about who's up now and who's playing a role, main event, WrestleMania 36, Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins. I'm just making stuff up. I don't even know. So, because I think that Dean Ambrose is the future star of the Shield. And that's not knocking the other guys. The other guys, I think all three of those guys could be huge. But if I were to pick one to surpass the other two, it would be Dean Ambrose, just because of the microphone skills. So,
yeah, I would have to go Roman Reigns.
Oh, he's going to be
maybe
there.
Maybe that can be a versus question next time we do that, because then we have three choices, and we'll all have to debate. So, actually, we'll just leave that discussion right there and wrap up the segment however you like, Greg.
I just think, you know, again, indie wrestling is the roots of the tree. And kill the roots, and the tree dies. And I think that, you know, there's been a surge of talent being signed and moved to the WWE, and I think that we're going to get more reports of that here in the coming month after this recent camp. And I think 2014, as I've said before, it's going to be a big year for independent wrestling. I said at the beginning of 2013 that 2013 was going to kind of be an year where things sort of reset themselves in indie wrestling. I think I've kind of been right. And 2014, things are going to explode again. And I think it's only good for the world of independent wrestling. And I'm excited about it because indie wrestling is what we're about. And that's one of the things that we love. So I think that's just going to continue to grow and get bigger and bigger. And that means 5 years from now, it's another surge of talent in the WWE. So big things ahead for the world of independent wrestling. So if you're not on board with indie wrestling now, if you're one of those guys who's like, oh, WWE and that's it, now is the perfect time for you to change that mindset and check some stuff out.
That's right. And there's no better feeling than watching indie wrestling in 2002, 2003, and seeing CM Punk start, and then watching indie wrestling 10 years later or even 8 years later and watching CM Punk win the title or defend the title at WrestleMania, because, you know, you have a sense of pride that you watch this guy come up through the ranks. So watch indie wrestling, latch onto somebody. There's plenty of feds around your area, wherever you are, that, you know, it could feature, you know, CM Punk was wrestling in little places in Chicago and Milwaukee way, way back in the day. And, you know, some people, I probably looked at him, skinny, blonde, bleached blonde haired kid. I was like, oh, this kid's a joke, and look at him now. Greg?
Sorry, I was completely muted right there, I think. I think I said nothing like a minute, didn't I? Was that like a minute of dead air?
I was sitting here, I was confused.
No, it was all me. I did that all myself. So it was a great rant, too, and now it's gone. And I can't even recreate it. I'm not going to try to. Chad, any ideas of what we're doing next week, though?
I have not come up with any yet, Greg. We got 2 weeks before the pay-per-view, so it will be a game next week. That's all I can tell you right now.
Actually, you know what? Now that I look at the show schedule, we got RJ City next week, and then it's Night of Champions Reaction on September 15th. So we might actually have to preview the pay-per-view next week.
There we go.
If all is right. Let me just do some quick on-the-spot research, because I don't have a producer to make look these things up. And let's see what the date is. If Night of Champions is December 15th, which, let's see here. How could it not even... Yeah, Night of Champions is September 15th. So we will definitely be previewing the pay-per-view next week.
That's right. And if the listeners want to tweet at us and let us know if we should do a game format again or if we should just roll with the punches on the big matches, I think that'd be good to get some feedback.
I liked the game format, even though I was the one who said, no, we shouldn't waste the game format on it. I think it made for a better preview and sets us apart from the rest. So
right.
Screw what the listeners think. I'm just kidding, listeners. We love you. I say you go for a game.
All right, well, then I will change the Raw active question, Greg, and ask them to tweet at us and tell us which game they want us to play next week.
That's right. Download.
And you know what? I might just say screw it like they did a few months ago and go with whatever I want anyways, but feel free to vote.
And that's what I give you that leeway. That's right. What I've always done, and that's what's always worked for me here on the program. So even though I like to tell people...
It doesn't matter what you think!
It actually does. So there you go. Good stuff, Chad. Well, again, great job filling in for the wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd. He will probably listen. He'll probably worry. I will get a text from him tomorrow asking if he's been replaced. It happens every single time. And I've been replaced. But if he were to get hit by a bus, it's good to know that you very easily jump in and take it. I'm not wishing him being hit by a bus, listeners. I just want you to know that. So.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
And
well, good stuff. And we'll preview the pay-per-view next week.
Absolutely.
Sounds good, Chad. Well, it's late for you, so get some sleep, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, Greg. Have a good one.
Too. There you go. Of course, I jokingly say it's late for him. Well, it's late for this person, too, as we are so lucky and so fortunate to bring in just someone who is as smart as she is beautiful. And that is, of course, Miss 32 Fantastic herself, Heather Lynn. Heather's waiting on hold for just a little bit as Chad and I ramble about indie wrestling. And Heather, it's just me and you. There's no Tony Acero.
Oh, really?
Yes. We have the place all to ourselves. So you don't have to worry about the thousands of listeners. It's just the two of us. And by the way, I don't know if you're wearing pants, but...
Time to get off.
Because I couldn't find the shut-up sound bite. I was going to cut it off soon. Once you get past the take-your-pants-off part, it's usually pretty good.
Oh, that's pretty long.
Yes, that's what she said. I had to do it. It's the third hour of the show.
I walked right into that.
You did walk right into that, but it's quite all right. It's like, without Tony, I feel like this need to just, like, continually hit on you. And that's not fair to you. Not that I care, but I do, because that's what I need to. I don't have all of the Midnight Wrestling Review sound bites uploaded in. I made them on a different computer, and they're not even of the best quality. I just need to remake them, including your theme song. You deserve to have your theme song back, and we're going to have to bring that back as soon as humanly possible. Not that we don't have the porn music.
Did someone say Greg DeMarco's Midnight Wrestling Review?
with Tommy Yusero and Heather Lynn.
Yeah, see, but it's just I gotta remake those. They should be of better quality, and we'll do that. But you're here, wonderful quality, of course, and you were in action just earlier today.
Yes, it was for interview for the Florida Underground Wrestling SCW over in Kissimmee at a nightclub. Great card. It had Matt Morgan, Bruce and T, Jesse Sorensen, Maxwell, Chicago, Bendejo. I mean, it was pretty good card. Long.
Nice.
But really good.
Good, excellent. I don't know if you can be any louder because for some reason you're not coming through very loud. I don't know.
Yeah,
just
crappy right now. So I'm trying to. It doesn't work when I talk through the mouthpiece, but unless I put it right up on the mouthpiece.
Oh, yes. You have to put your mouth right up against it for it to work right. Just saying.
Can you hear it? Can you hear it better now?
I can actually hear it a little bit better now.
Okay, because I'm like on the mic.
Yes, you are. Yes, yes, you are indeed. Sometimes I hate when I'm on the wrong side of the sound bites when someone says something.
Aw, shucky, ducky, quack, quack.
You love the microphone, and the microphone loves you. So, you know, next week we are going to be previewing Night of Champions, and this week I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the Night of Champions build. Obviously, the main focus of the WWE storylines has been, you know, the new face of the WWE, Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, saying he's going to rearrange that face and become the new face of WWE himself. Are you excited for a Night of Champions main evented by Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan here in two Sunday nights from now?
Well, first off, I wanted one of those Escalades, if I could, please. And second, I mean, it's looking like a good match. And honestly, I think Daniel Bryan's strong enough to bring a good match out of almost anybody on that roster. So, you know, and Orton's not a bad wrestler. He's just a very predictable wrestler. And I'm just not looking forward to hearing Michael Cole say Vintage Orton again because I want to smack him upside the head every time I hear that. But I'm looking forward to the match. I'll probably watch it unless I'm watching. And I mean, it's looking like, you know, that this angle might be good. And, you know, seeing DB chase to the belt and everything is really, it makes him stronger and it makes people sympathize with him. So I think that helps a lot. And then I think that, you know, it's making Orton, he's always been kind of a heel, even when he's a face. And people were wanting him to be a heel, and then when he turned heel, now they're complaining about it. But it's like,
yep.
This is, you know, heel Orton. This is what he was meant to do. Some people are just better at being a heel than being a face. And he's one of them. Triple H is one of them. And there's a couple of the wrestlers. You can see them, and when they're faces, it's like, oh, yeah, he's a face. But then you're never truly convinced, and you're always waiting for the turn. But then when the turn comes, don't act so surprised, because it happens. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to the match. I think if anybody can pull a great match out, it'll be those three.
It's so funny you bring that up. People were clamoring for the Orton heel turn since the later half of 2012. And then when it happens, they really start complaining about it. And you talked about Daniel Bryan chasing for the title. Look, I think they did the right thing. Like, I think what they did was perfect. Having Daniel Bryan win, having Randy Orton cash in. Predictable, yes, but also, in my opinion, the right thing to do. Daniel Bryan's going to get that run, and it'd be great, but this was the way to go because they're building. Like, they built Daniel Bryan in a way that made us satisfied, but, Heather, I think people lose sight of the fact that it ain't always for us. We're going to be there no matter what. They need to build Daniel Bryan for that casual fan to really get behind as a top guy, and that's what they're doing right now, and I think they're doing it very well. Given what Triple H has done in exercising his power and having the Shield brutalize Daniel Bryan and doing everything he can for Randy Orton, do we need some kind of a stipulation on the Night of Champions match for Daniel Bryan's chances of winning to be believable? And for us to just not think that the corporate influence is going to overcome and Daniel Bryan's going to get screwed and kind of, is that too predictable? Do we need some kind of a stipulation to remove some of that predictability?
I don't know about a stipulation, but he's kind of like, you know, David and Goliath. I mean, you've got him going against somebody who has the entire corporation heads behind him. And if he pulls out a win without any help, it'll make him look that much bigger. But, right, is it believable? You know, depends on the way they do it. I think the whole, you know, Big Show kind of being there and you know, acting really pissed off is going to work in his favor. But then they're kind of ignoring the fact that Big Show has that ironclad contract where he cannot get fired for any reason. And I think, I don't know if they think the fans are stupid and they just do that and say, oh, nobody's going to remember he has an ironclad contract and can't be fired. And if they were smart, they would realize that and maybe have him help Brian. Maybe have him turn heel and you know, turn heel on Brian. And I think that would be kind of a shocker, but it'd be a cool one. Have him join the corporation. But, you know, I think DB's going to have to overcome this on his own.
I think you're right. I think he will have to overcome it on his own. I do think we could see some involvement from the Big Show. I agree with you. The ironclad contract thing is out there. You could say that contract already expired. You know, we don't know how long it was for, whatever. But it could also be what the Big Show uses when he finally does break out. Like, if he breaks out this week on Raw and does do whatever the hell he wants because of the ironclad contract, I don't think it's too late. I mean, we just, you know, the story still has to be told. Like, everyone thinks we got to tell the entire story in 1 3-hour Raw. Like, they've had to establish Orton and Triple H, and I think a big part of the story that people are missing is, and I even wrote about this in the Wrestling 501, I think the bigger story that no one is seeing and the quote-unquote torch that is being passed is the one that's being passed to Triple H. I think people are missing the fact that he's kind of the new Mr. McMahon now. And not that Vince is gone. Vince ain't gone. He ain't gone until he kicks. But I think they've sort of passed that mantle of the Mr. McMahon role onto Triple H. And that still has to be established as well. And that's kind of what we're doing. I think tomorrow on Raw, we're going to see some changes. And someone's going to step up. Or Daniel Bryan's going to be put in a situation where he does overcome some odds tomorrow on Raw. One of those two things is probably going to happen as we continue that build. Because that's the... You know, there's only two Raws left before Night of Champions.
I agree. I think they are passing the torch to Triple H, and they're doing it in a great fashion, other than coming right out and McMahon saying, hey, you're my successor. But, yeah, McMahon will always be involved, and you can always see the influences of McMahon even in this storyline. And yeah, he's not going to go anywhere until the man is in his grave, and even then he probably still influenced it in some way from beyond the grave. And I think that, you know, him doing this is kind of showing the fans, hey, look, you can follow somebody else's lead, and Triple H, you know, is going to be the next thing that takes care of this company. And, you know, if there's much Stephanie too, but I think, you know, having him as the figurehead kind of establishes a lot right there. But the thing is, where is his other child? That's what I want to know.
I don't think Shane wants it right now. And it's funny, I don't think Stephanie or Vince really want to be on TV all that much right now. Like, Vince wants to be involved, doesn't mean Vince wants to be on television. I think sometimes Vince felt like he had to be on television, which is why this torch passing to Triple H is a bigger deal than people are making of it. Because they're so focused on Daniel Bryan and you know, hating on John Cena, that they're missing the point that Triple H is the new Mr. McMahon. So if you don't like what Triple H is doing now, then I'm sorry, because it's probably going to continue for a long, long time, because he could do this role for years.
I mean, look how far McMahon is taking this role. It's easy to see him taking this role.
Yeah, since like 96, 97 or whatever. So, and now it's 2013. So, yeah, I mean, think about that for a minute. Like, you know, I was in college and Mr. McMahon was coming up, maybe before I was in college. So, yeah, I mean, it definitely is something that people need to realize that, you know, Triple H is the new Mr. McMahon, you know, and which means he has to lose. Like, he has to, like, Daniel Bryan can't just overcome Randy Orton for the story to be complete. He's got to go over Triple H at some point, whether it's in a formal fashion or even in an informal fashion. He's got to get the better of Triple H by the end of this.
Yeah, but, you know, McMahon always lost the battles but won the war.
Yeah. Well, and Triple H could disappear and come back. I mean, there's – and sometimes McMahon was a face. And so there's a lot that could happen. But you're right. He does lose the battle sometimes and win the war. Another big match at Night of Champions is now CM Punk in the handicap elimination match with Curtis Axel and Paul Heyman. Does it matter that the Intercontinental Championship isn't factoring into this match at Night of Champions?
I don't think it should have factored into this match, but then again, that's kind of going for an inferior title for CM Punk. I kind of forgot Curtis Axel was the champion because that's how they're treating the belt basically at this point. It's hardware. That's pretty much all it is. It's a piece of jewelry. And they're not establishing that title as a strong title that came up with, you know, his father and Macho Man and Steamboat and all these guys. That title was, you know, had a name, and now it's pretty much just a piece of jewelry. So I'm highly disappointed in the fact of how they're treating that title and its legacy. But, I mean, I love Punk, but I'm not excited about this match at all. I just don't think, I like Curtis Axel's wrestling skills, but I don't think he has the charisma. Heyman, yes, but he doesn't have the wrestling skills. I guess maybe the two of them can balance each other out, right?
They can, and I think that's why they're paired together. I think some plans changed from when Curtis Axel became the Intercontinental Champion to now, because this is not a feud that the Intercontinental Champion needs to be in, but just kind of what they found themselves in, whether it be for injuries, you know, whether John Cena's injury and Sheamus' injury trickled down the car to cause these changes. But if I were them, CM Punk would somehow cost Curtis Axel the Intercontinental title sometime over the next 2 weeks, putting that belt on, you know, a Ziggler, a Kofi Kingston, somebody who can actually carry the belt and do something with it, because they're not even putting Curtis Axel in a position to do anything with the Intercontinental title by having him feud with Punk. It's just not it's unnecessary at this point, and the belt should kind of exist outside of Curtis Axel right now, because it just isn't working with Curtis Axel. So I agree with you there. I'm not concerned that it isn't on the line, because I don't want to see Punk carrying it. I remember when Triple H carried it after being world champion, and it was supposed to be great, but it just it's not that belt anymore. You know, the way they build guys is by putting the world title on, and so, you know, if you don't know what's the Intercontinental title right now on Axel, put it on somebody else, because there's a lot of better guys who would carry it and support it, and Axel's just not really anything with it. So I agree with you there. Not upset in the least by that. How would you feel if somebody from Total Divas held the Divas title after the promo that we saw from AJ Lee on Monday's Raw?
Sorry, you're breaking up. It was really hard to hear that.
Oh, no problem. I heard a sound that made me think you went away, so I'm glad you didn't. AJ Lee cut the big promo on Raw and on against the Cats of Total Divas, and rumors are that it's leading towards somebody from the Total Divas cast wearing the Divas title. How would you feel if someone from Total Divas ended up as the Divas champion after Night of Champions?
Well, yeah, I wouldn't exactly enjoy that, but I see where they're going with it, and I see because, you know, the ratings are so high for Total Divas that it was inevitable that one of the girls is going to wear it. If any of the girls wear it, I hope it's Natalya. She's the only real good wrestler there that deserves it. I don't want to see it on one of these model girls. I don't want to see it on the veterans, the Bellas. And, you know, I certainly don't want to see it on Eva Marie or the other little things. But it's just, I see where they're going with it. But at the same time, I don't know. AJ's promo was really good, but did she? Was it written for her, or was there a bit of truth in there? Who knows? You can't really tell, but I think it was stupid that they make her cut a promo like that only to further the TV show for the next season. I think
that's totally what it was for. Like, people think that, like, this great watershed moment for AJ